Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Voice of America's special coverage of the Basketball Africa League fourth season. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm in studio today, joined by my colleague, Mike Howe.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Mike?
What's good? What's good,
Jackson? And we have a special guest, Mr. Paul Ofuono, a local resident here in Washington, D.C. area, also my friend.
Yes, sir.
Paul is a proprietor, a restaurateur, chef, connoisseur of all sorts,
everything,
import export, yeah. But most importantly, a lover of basketball. So he will join us through this game today. We're about to watch the game between Al Ahly of Libya and Al Ahly of Egypt. We're not intending to confuse you guys. Two different countries, two different teams. I feel like, you know, there's got to be a little originality. Change the names, guys, you know what I'm saying? But Al Ahly is a storied franchise from Egypt. It's been around for a long time, whether it's their soccer. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, obviously one of
it's
the
an
best.
Sporting club.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And one of the best sporting clubs
In Africa,
yeah. basketball-wise too. Mm-hmm. Mike, start off with you just to give us an understanding of the first game between, I guess, Bangui and Uganda's City Oilers. Yeah. How are things looking?
My guys.
yeah. So the NAL conference tipped off yesterday. Man, it's looking really interesting. Al Ahly Libya came in hot. Ball debutants, they came in looking really good. They defeated Bangui, Central African Republic, 93-71.
Also debutants,
that is correct.
Yeah.
And then in the second game, we had two Ball veterans going up against each other, Al Ahly Egypt, that is taking on Uganda's City Oilers, 99-76 to Al Ahly Egypt. City Oilers right now, they've played two games, they're 2-0. Bangui, another Ball debutant, they took on the City Oilers today in the first tip-off of the day. Bangui, 101, City Oilers, 88.
Ouch.
Come on, Oilers.
I gotta say, Oilers. By the way, Paul is from Uganda. And I don't want to put you on the spot, Paul, but what's happening with Ugandan basketball? I mean,
I don't know. There's plenty of talent, man. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of talent. I mean, I don't know. We have a We have a 7'7".
I was about to
seven
say.
7'2".
Exactly.
You know? Committed to do.
Right.
So it's got to be something.
It's got to be something. I don't know whether it's in management, but City Oilers, I mean, last year was their debutant year.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did better. Like, they didn't do so well, but I guess beyond expectations for me. But I feel like Uganda could be doing better with their basketball franchise. Like being beaten by a Central African Republic team, you know what I'm saying? Like, Central African Republic is a country that has been at war without a government for how many years?
Right.
Yeah. And they still are able to put together a basketball team that, you know, competes in the Basketball Africa League and beats with that margin too. Like, how many? 101?
101-88.
101-88.
That's a big
differential right there.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want to go home being beaten by the debutant team from a country that is not, you know,
blown out. Facility.
Yeah.
You
know.
But I think I'm also beginning to think that age is beginning to be a factor because,
of course,
you know, the shooting guards and the point guards are about, what, 33, 34
mm-hmm.
years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe these guys need to dig into the market and figure this thing out.
They're
going to
start exporting, taking advantage of that import thing, being in more foreign.
Yeah. And fit the big man.
Fit the big man,
you know?
Man, this young kid, 17 years old, he's doing amazing
things.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me how City Oilers are going down.
I also have to say that I grew up in Uganda. When I was growing up back in the day, we didn't have so many basketball courts. Mm-hmm. But I think Uganda's changed. Now you see young people playing around the city of Kampala, even in the rural areas. Yeah. They have access to basketball facilities. So instead of importing players, which has been my biggest critique, develop players.
Develop
you know
players,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's got to be a developmental league of some sort to try and get these kids ready for the Basketball Africa League.
Mm-hmm,
basketball is going to be like a game changer. It is a game changer in Africa.
It is.
And you want to tap into that. You want to take advantage of it. And I don't feel like, you know, the Ugandan, you know, teams are actually doing that.
Well, they need to reach out to Luol because the Sudanese are taking over.
Facts.
Wow,
yes,
you know,
definitely.
I mean, it's he's doing a hell of a job.
Absolutely.
Hell of a job.
Using his own money, use his connections, his own
network. We're beginning to see talents this year that we didn't even have an idea.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So, you know, kudos to him.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I think what's been really impressive about this bowl season is to focus more on the debutants. Everybody seems to be standing up. Everybody looking really good. Burundi, Dynamo, before they stepped out, they had won their first game. Absolutely. They were looking like they were really on a roll towards qualification. Now we've got Al Ahly Libya. They're also blowing everybody's
head
out.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good test to see how they play up against their Egyptian counterparts today.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're able to win that, they're looking really good towards advancing to the next stage of the tournament.
Absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
It's
so
be intriguing.
This is the Nile Conference.
Yes,
we watched the Kalahari Conference this year. Mm-hmm. The Basketball Africa League expanded, added new teams, and they made their debut in South Africa. How do you feel? Like, you know, you as a person who grew up in South Africa, how did South Africa do in terms of hosting this tournament?
Say, they've been the most impressive so far. Every other game, the arena was jam-packed. You could even hear from the commentary
for
standpoint
sure.
when they're going, defense!
Yeah.
You could hear the crowd going wild. In comparison to what's happening in the Nile Conference, I will say the Kalahari Conference blew it out the water.
Mm.
Once again, to stick to the attendance, the performance, Cape Town Tigers, they didn't really stand up as tall, but they definitely, you know, fought their way back.
They won.
They won a very critical game.
Essentially, a very
critical game.
Yeah.
And they had a very good chance. And they still have an opportunity.
They do have an opportunity
as a third best team.
Yeah,
you
making
know.
It to Kigali.
So I would say the Kalahari Conference, in comparison to what's happening with the Nile right now, Kalahari Conference was definitely more entertaining.
Absolutely.
The star power that came out for the halftime performances, for example.
Oh, yeah,
they
absolutely.
Brought out Edo, who's who that you could think of. So far, Egypt has just not stood up. Maybe Senegal will do better, and of course Kigali.
Senegal, I mean, if history is going to be a teacher, did not do so well either last year.
Right.
Apparently, the Senegalese built a stadium outside of the city,
mm-hmm.
and so it's very hard to bus people.
Wow.
You know, for people to access the facilities.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's the kind of advantage that
South Africa definitely had that. The stadium itself is very close.
You
have all the facilities, the Gau train itself, with the main train essentially goes right by the arena. So I think that the proximity, people didn't feel, because if you think about it, basketball is not the biggest sport in South Africa. But the fact that the arenas were packed up like that, for me, said Bal really focused on
absolutely
making sure that they stand up.
Advertising,
and pushing, advertising was right.
Yeah.
The proximity to the stadium was right. If I'm anywhere close to the stadium and I'm just chilling,
absolutely,
and I see my favorite star post, hey, I'm about to perform,
absolutely,
I'm gonna go.
Yeah,
absolutely. These tickets were not
absolutely
that crazy. So I think what the Kalahari Conference, they definitely did a lot more, and the rest of the conferences have to learn a thing or two from that.
Absolutely. And then, you know, get the logistics right. If your stadium is outside of the city, get buses, get public transportation to bus people into the stadium.
It shouldn't be a headache.
It's such a shame to see, and I hate to say that, but to see a stadium with high caliber players
and no people,
no people,
and no people, huh?
Empty.
It's a shame.
10%
the players might as well just be trading. Like it looks really dismal.
Which does explain sometimes why the game is taking long to develop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because not only are we during this type of tournaments where we importing a lot of external talent, but even at home, there's no excitement.
Right.
Build the excitement up for the people to come and watch these games. Paul Ofwono joining us here in studio. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm with Mike Hove. We are about to watch El Ahly versus El Ahly.
You gotta say Libya versus Egypt. Come
Libya
on,
versus
man.
Egypt.
I'm trying to mess with the people, with the listeners. Like, what is he getting wrong? Yeah, so El Ahly, Libya, which is a debutant team. Libya also a country that has been stuck in, you know, some form of conflict for so many years.
Yeah.
But still being able to put together a team
that's looking really
that
good.
Is really, looking really good, making their debut at the Basketball Africa League. This is the Voice of America special coverage. Nile Conference started yesterday, the 19th of April. Today we are the 20th. We're about to watch the second game. I think it's going to be dope. I can't wait to see
these
two teams. Yeah.
I'm excited. These
Absolutely.
Two teams are the ones that are, you know, leading the Nile Conference,
exactly.
Right?
I will say it's also highlighting how basketball is really being pushed in North Africa, man. Mm. They're looking really good. Even
the
Moroccan team at the time, they were looking really good.
Yeah.
It's saying a lot in terms of how North Africa really approaches
Fast Rabat, yes, absolutely.
Fast Rabat
really absolutely. Good. What would it take for basketball to flourish in Uganda? What are some of the missing links? Like, do you feel like you have enough facilities? Is there excitement?
I
know soccer is still such a big...
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's also leadership. I mean, everything has to start from leadership and the way it trickles down,
right.
You know? We can't just go and say, okay, let's build this, let's build that, because if we have, you know, some good leadership and the money that trickles down, you know, from the bigger NBA guys, and then the leadership can figure out how we can get these things done. And it starts with the leadership.
Yeah, I remember three years ago when the Ugandan team could not even afford to pay their bills at a hotel in Kigali. They had to be bailed out.
It was shocking.
Country that I feel like their priorities are not right. They need to focus. Again, BAL is going to be a game changer.
Yeah.
We have our opening. We can see right now.
It's about to be tip off.
About to be tip off. Stadium looking. What, 10% full? and this Cairo,
I see a lot of impact.
Cairo, one of the most populous cities in Africa, one of the biggest cities in Africa. Mm-hmm. Is that Sheikh? We see you, Sheikh.
It's the big man from Bamako.
Sheikh is going to be joining us too. What's going
man,
on,
we
brother?
Might have, we might as well get him on the Oilers.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man. It's a good pleasure to be here, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you for joining us, man, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah,
good, man.
Any forecasts in how this game is going to go? I know, you know, you've watched Lali Egypt play before, you know, it's a solid team, but you know, Libya is making this debut. What are you looking for in terms of how these teams are actually going to perform to be able to take it to Kigali in the playoffs?
Well, both teams look like they're the best team on this conference right now. And Al Ahly, from Egypt, we all know they're defending champions,
right.
And they have the capability to replace player like Nouni from last year.
For sure.
And that Benghazi team too, also from Libya, is the first time. And this is a team that's been watching this tournament since the first time. That's what we learned from all the teams that show up this year. They've been watching for years. So they prepare accordingly.
Waiting for their moment.
Yeah, they work out accordingly. They recruit accordingly and they comport themselves accordingly. So both teams look like the best two teams in this conference, but it would be nice if I like the new team, by the way. I like one that just come in and just show that you're the championship.
Absolutely.
Team,
yeah.
We can take on.
Yeah, we have the confidence.
Yeah, we saw that with the Fus Rabah from
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is going to be, we're going to probably see another team doing that. But
you know what
both teams are
about?
Very good.
Yes, what I'm curious about, Sheikh, why is it that the debutants are doing really good? Is it that they have enough tapes on the rest of the team?
I mean,
they've
been watching. They have a lot of scouting report.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the coaches that recruit, they want to make sure the coaches know the game. Mm-hmm. They've been watching. Player the caliber the same way.
Right.
You know, so that's what his scouting reporting is. You know, even if I'm not playing this game, I've been watching it for the last 3 years.
Three, yeah. Right.
I will be knowing that
absolutely.
Which team is what.
Absolutely.
You know, you will know the style of the coach.
That is Sheikh Thiero, a.k.a. the big man from Bamako, is also joining us in studio today. We have another big man. I don't think you've seen disappointing performances, but we're still proud of our guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're waiting for tip-off in Cairo. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. We're joined by Mike Ove here, Sheikh Thiero, and Paul Ofuono. We're going to be bringing you live coverage of the Basketball Africa League Nile Conference. Have you watched any games, Hove?
Like I said, I watched yesterday's games. And for me, it was once again Al Ahly Libya. For me, are the ones who really stood out.
It's a game to watch. It's a game to watch.
Today's game is the game to watch of the conference.
Yeah.
I was really excited.
Yeah. The two winners from last game,
right?
Facing each other.
Yeah.
That's so. For me, I think that yesterday's games were really exciting. I was paying attention to Al Ahly Libya, them being debutants.
Mm.
I really was curious to see how they stand up, because once again, all the debutants for me this season have been looking really good. And of course, they didn't disappoint. They lived up to their name. City Oilers have been disappointing so far, 2-0, losing both games. I paid attention a little bit towards today's game, and of course I watched yesterday's game. Al Ahly Egypt, doing what they do best. Mm-hmm. They're just showing why they're very veterans. They're very well coached. Yeah. Played very disciplined basketball. It was really impressive to see. I like the way that they're very precision, the way that they play, the way that they go out down to the last minute they play in.
Again, this is a franchise that has the kind of resources to pay well the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that El Ahly might even end up winning the Nile Conference. But again, you cannot, Libya is also a team that I'm sure they're coming in with hunger. Yeah. They want to show that they can take on the champions and beat them. So this is going to be a very interesting game to watch. We're waiting for tip-off. Guys are shooting around. Again, this is Basketball Africa League live coverage on the Voice of America. Remember to follow us at VOA Africa on all our social media platforms, on Facebook, on Instagram, most importantly on our website at voaafrica.com. Just click on that. I think we do have a banner.
We've got a banner right on the website.
Yeah, Mike is the man in charge here, so he can give us some updated information of the website. But we do have a lot of content on there. You can also listen to all our other shows on there. Listen to my show, watch my show. My name is Jackson Bunganya. Just look for Red Carpet or Upfront.
You will see Africa. Let's go. Go Tony, my man, my Africa.
Yeah, yes, sir. But before, since we got you here and we have Paul here, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the NBA as we, but I like when they kind of run concurrently. I think
because you can
year.
See,
parallels.
Yeah, you
in
see
there.
The parallels.
Yes, Paul is a big fan of Miami.
Miami Heat, baby.
The Heat brought the Heat yesterday. What was the game changer yesterday? I mean, they did not have Butler. Tell us a little bit about yesterday's game.
We didn't have Butler and Terry Rozier, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, that his MCL is, you know, pretty good. He comes
playoff Butler was not there.
Playoff Butler,
Butler
wasn't
there. But you know what I like about the Miami Heat is we don't have this, you know, everything is gelled in the locker room, you know, and when one person steps away, someone is there to fill the void.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we saw that, you know, they kind of gave me a scare. We were up, you know, 20 points, you know, by the, you know, second quarter. You know, they kind of lost it, but we came back again, dominated, and, you know, and you know, took the game. So, you know, I'm excited. I think we should have taken that Philly game. Yeah. But
which team has surprised you this year in the NBA?
And the NBA, you know, when this time of the NBA come, Jackson is always like, you know, do or die thing.
Yeah.
You know, NBA players will play really hard this time of the year. You know, after the 80 some game, you know, if you don't make it to the tournament, and I was impressed by Lakers to trying to be clinched. They won the 3 straight game. They haven't done that in a long time. So they want to do it. They want to do it. But, you know, it's got to be something more than just what they have right now. Mm. And we see they want to match Denver. This is going to be a big revenge from last season.
Yeah, make that happen. Good
but
matchup, though.
Yeah, it's been a lot of big, great team, and especially East Coast. I think Boston, every year, I think Boston should win, but they disappoint.
Absolutely.
Boston is a top team that's ready to lift the NBA trophy this year.
Yeah.
And there's NBA, there's team like Denver also, and West Coast side that's very there. And we have Minnesota that's there if they stay healthy.
Whoa.
Yeah, Timberwolves if they stay healthy.
Yeah.
And they can bring Carmelo Anthony Town back.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem for them. And we have so many teams in this NBA that can do something, Jackson. You know, NBA becomes so difficult now.
I like it. There's no big team that can say that.
Absolutely.
But you can see, I was really sure that Sacramento was going to win.
Yeah, me too.
Like, me too. One non Sacramento was going to win. But I was just shocked.
And then playoff, it would become something else. Yeah, playoff is that's when everybody give everything they got.
They get into beast mode.
Yeah. That's what I call
that's
beast
what it counts,
mode.
Yeah.
Because you got six games to kill.
Yeah.
To war to win four of them and go to the next one.
The next one.
And then 84 game in the season is like everybody can make it, but we know some player gave it. Donovan Mitchell made it.
Yeah.
He played all 81-82 games of the season.
Yeah.
And there are a few players that have done that and that haven't been seen in a long time.
Absolutely.
But yeah, people still can do it, but it's a lot of games, Jackson. Yeah. 84 game compared to this, how many games they play?
Yeah, that's nothing compared to NBA, my friend.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's why we want the ball to be lead in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the first step is to having different team every year.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we've been seeing now. Mm. We've been seeing most team countries having a infrastructure to have good team, and it will expand, because when you have a team, you got to have a gym for them to work out.
Right. Yeah.
And it will give you an idea. Okay, look, we can do this. We can build a gym.
We can bring young players. Then,
from 12 team, it can go up to 15, absolutely. To 21, 30, because NBA is 30.
Yes.
It's the whole continent that you're not covering.
Absolutely. You know? So absolutely. One of the things that I really find frustrating for me personally with the Basketball Africa League is the journeyman type mentality, where they, you know, they just get these guys who are part of the G League, the NBA, and, you know, let me see one of the little write up here that they said the Nile Conference group features five players with the NBA G League experience: Thierry Serge Dalan, Kevin Murphy, Pierre Jackson of El Ahly, Libya, Patrick Gardner, El Ahly, played for Long Island Nets. I think that's a G League. Then Dan Miller Jr. We saw him. He's from City Oilers. Mm-hmm. He played for Oklahoma City Blue. Now, I'm not talking about specifically these players, but in general, these African teams have tended to go and get these veterans.
And get the pros.
Yeah, the pros.
Yeah.
And what I feel like that denies the opportunity to these young players back home to have to be in this space,
more time,
more time, and so the confidence of being in, you know, in front of these cameras to play in those on that level.
They're doing both, though.
Yeah,
they're doing both, because they have Ball Elevate on all these teams.
Yeah,
I don't know if
they do have a
Maluashki that play for.
He signed to Duke University. Yeah. Right, we'll talk about
Early on. Yeah, so
but here's my question though, Sheikh: is the point for Baal to grow basketball on the tournament and make it a professional sport on in Africa, or is it to elevate the sport, the players, to be able to play in the NBA?
Both, and if we do both, you know, a bridge of transfer, like NBA. Uh-huh. You know, NBA have a trade deadline.
Yeah,
it can be a transferable player like that. Transferable skills.
Mm-hmm.
Transferable skills like Malouash. Mm-hmm. We have also Chomji from the NBA Academy that declared for 2024 NBA.
Yeah.
You can go both ways. Like a league that is originated by the NBA.
No, but the thing again is that does the NBA have the interest of developing this league to stand alone and have the capacity to attract and dollars and, you know.
They don't do specifically for the NBA roster, but the G League is wide open for grab, you know, because we see a lot of NBA G League players from this ball, from Senegal, especially the G League Ignite.
Yeah.
And the G League Ignite got few from Senegal, and other teams getting few from other teams. G League for sure, because, you know, G League is next door to the NBA.
Right.
You know, if you come in the G League, you get 10 days contract, you do good, and you stay. You know, a lot of, we got Jonathan Kamunga from DRC.
Yes,
the G League Ignite, the same team, and that hosts three or four players from Basketball Africa League.
Yeah.
So it's a league. It's not necessarily mean they're going to just make the transferable, but you also got to have match the talent, like Malouash.
Yeah.
They're looking for players like that.
Yes,
you know, players that's going to have a caliber of Wembanyama, because the big men in the league right now play like ours, and they took the center position away.
Yeah,
you know, so the big men need to be able to run,
you gotta
and
be quick
and shoot.
So that's the kind of caliber player the NBA is looking for.
Yeah.
It's no rocket science, because this is the caliber player they want to work with. You know, and NBA here, this is the kind of work you want to play, a player you want to get from the league.
Mm.
And if you get many of Malouash, which I'm guaranteed is a lot of them in Africa, and you will have a chance to have many players from this league.
Absolutely. And the Nile Conference group phase also features 17 former NAACA Division One players. Prince Ali from Ghana played for UCLA. He's going to play for El Ahly Egypt. Ihab Amin, who we saw last year, he plays for the University of Oregon. Mark Lyons from the University of Arizona, Patrick Gardner played for Marist College, Omar Orabi, we saw him last year too, he played for the University of Southern California, El Ahly Libya has Majok Deng. I didn't even know that. Oh wow,
they got my
guy, they got Majok. Okay. And then
I haven't seen Majok. Majok is my player.
Me too. They have Joluwal Akir, another South Sudanese guy. He played for Baylor. Kevin Murphy seems to be an American, played for Tennessee Tech University. And Pierre Jackson played for Baylor University. The City Oilers, Bangi Sporting Club had Nikolas Kebic from Serbia. He played for University of South Florida.
Yeah.
Evans Ganapamo, we remember Ganapamo last year. He played for New Orleans. Kurt Wegschneider played for the University of New Mexico. Those are some of the 17 former NCAA players, Division One players, that are going to be featured in Baal in the Nile Conference this year. If you're just tuning in, this is the Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. We are in Season 4. Can you believe we are Season 4?
Bro!
Yeah, it felt like yesterday.
It's unbelievable, man.
Time flies. And yeah, we're looking forward to this season. I guess we see the league progressively get better.
Growing. It's definitely getting better. More competitive.
Yeah.
Harder. More interesting towards the consumer. If you think back to season one, I remember watching season one. The attendance was poor.
I know.
The play was poor. Yeah. Now you're definitely seeing players stand up a lot more. I think as they're seeing more opportunities towards reaching into the NBA, I think that's one of the biggest aspirations.
Yes, absolutely.
For any player on the world.
Yeah.
The more opportunities that are reaching closer and closer and closer to the NBA are opening.
Mm.
And Ball is getting every African player that much closer towards making it to the NBA. So I think players are definitely playing a lot better.
Yeah.
They're getting a lot more younger players, which is what I'm finding exciting. I remember in season one, a lot of players, the average was probably like in their 30s, right? Because you're getting a player who's kind of pro, but not pro.
Yeah.
Now you've got kids who are 16, 17 who are really balling out.
Yeah.
For me, this is really one of the most exciting and will likely end up being one of the most successful ball seasons.
Absolutely, absolutely. Season number four, we don't know what number five, six, or seven will look like. Mm-hmm. This getting better and better. Paul, what does it take to grow basketball on the continent? What is the thing that is missing? We have a very young population,
the youngest continent,
the youngest in the world.
Yeah.
Average age, 70% of them are under 21. So there's a lot of potential there. So what do we need?
I mean, like infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Infrastructure, because, you know, we'd love to... You know, because let me ask you guys a question: Are the games played in one place?
So as the seasons have grown, they're starting to expanding. So like this season, they've had different conferences that are being played across different countries.
Yeah. Right?
So you have the Kalahari just in South Africa. You have the Nile in Egypt. You're gonna have one in Senegal. Yeah. Then you're gonna have the finals in Kigali.
And that's where my point comes is infrastructure, because I'm looking at my poor City Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the fans can give a team energy.
Oh yes.
You know?
Yes.
Now if we had a stadium, you know, something like that, you know, in Kampala, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while we give him a home game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We got to push, you know, the fans are part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fans are part of it, because imagine going to play in there and there's no one screaming in your language in a way that can encourage you. Yeah?
Here's what I'm always curious about, right? Especially in Africa, being a test case where so many sports are fighting for attention. You have so many different sports trying to grow within Africa, and of course, soccer will remain dominant.
Yes.
How do you then garner more attention for basketball when you've got, for example, a Rugby World Cup that comes on?
Competing interests, competing leagues.
There's so many different sports that are trying to vie for that number one sport, vie for that number one money, vie for that number one attention.
Mm-hmm.
How do you then grow a basketball, for example, which was not likely even today is still not even top three sports that are consumed in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to make a relationship between all these sports.
Mm.
That's why I say it's leadership.
Mm.
You know, whoever is the governing body for the whole sports, you know, that umbrella has to come up and say, okay, listen, we are booming in soccer.
Right.
You know, why don't we just, help our guys over here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're building soccer stadiums. Why can't we make it where some of these soccer stadiums can also be used as basketball?
That's what Al-Ahly Egypt does.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So we don't have to go looking for places to build.
Right.
Get that stadium and make it, and make it where it can be changed up into a basketball
court. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that would work.
Absolutely. Basketball Africa League coverage here on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm here with Mike Hove, and we have Paul Ofono joining us. We'll have tip-off in a few minutes. I think it's 1 minute. In 1 minute, we'll have tip-off between El Ahly of Egypt and El Ahly of Libya. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not me spazzing out on y'all. It's just two teams with the same name. Just one is from Libya. The other one is from Egypt. I asked my colleague Mukbil what El Ahly means, because, you know, he knows a little bit of Arabic. He told me El Ahly means national team. And so that's,
Makes sense.
The differentiator.
The representative of the nation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even though El Ahly, I don't think, really, is a representative of the nation, as in a national team. It's a club. But, you know, that's a nice way to take the name and just really own it and co-opt it for yourself. We are in Studio 3 here, and during halftime, we'll bring you coverage. We also have, we have tip-off. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Cairo.
Game time.
We're here in Cairo, here in Egypt, and here for this wonderful showdown. Al Ahly Sporting Club of Egypt up against another Al Ahly of Libya. And this showdown here in the Basketball Africa League, it is, of course, the Nile Conference. It's day two. Both of these teams have got off to victorious starts, with Al Ahly managing to beat the City Oilers 99-76 in their opener yesterday. Al Ahly, Libya beating Bangui of CAR 93-71. We now get ourselves the chance to see what these top two dogs are all about. Q, Quentin Denason next to me. Fascinating showdown here.
Well, especially when you look at the score lines that you just called out, 93-99, both teams executing well offensively. It's going to be a showdown indeed. They've got very nice rosters, and I think it's going to be a showdown for the ages in the Nile Conference.
Listen, the lights have gone down, and we're here in Cairo, and there's mystery in the air because we don't know where we're going with this. Let's take a look at the initial score from today. Bangui Sporting Club of Central African Republic getting a win 101-88 against the City Oilers of Uganda. So their first victory. Now it's time for the double battle between the Al Ahly's City Oilers against Al Ahly Libya on April the 22nd after a day off, of course, and then Bangui up against Al Ahly Egypt for that final clash on day three. But here tonight, we're talking about Al Ahly in their own backyard. The Egyptian Giants, the defending champions, the team who came and showed us what they're capable of doing. Bangui moved provisionally to the top just because they played an extra game. And they've got a win, of course, and they got more than 100 points. Whereas Al Ahly Sporting Club, of course, looking to try and move ahead. Or Al Ahly Libya, of course, trying to move themselves ahead. City Oilers squashed there in third position, looking for their first win.
Yeah, and it's important. We've spoken about the value of every single fixture. It's very important to pick up wins. And there's no game, no days off, no fixture is unimportant.
You haven't got any days off either. We make you work, Q. We definitely do. It's showtime here in Cairo. To take a look at some of the key players. Well, I think we have to talk about this man. I mean, he is just sensational, isn't he?
Especially going downhill. The 28-year-old guard led the way with 16 points, 4 rebounds and 5 assists, and 5 of those coming on the fast break. When he is going downhill, he is fantastic to watch. His turn of speed, his elegance, the ability to finish, and he makes really smart decisions with ball in hand. Chief ball handler, he'll find the open man, but what he's also really good at is leading from the front, a proven scorer, and he will be important in today's encounter.
Yeah, very important player, of course. He only played 18 minutes, 26 seconds, but such an important, you know, impact. He makes the starting five, of course. No changes for Coach Augustin Julebe.
No changes. Lions and Ali come on in that backcourt. Mitchell Jr. and Keju will shore up the front court. And when you have a look at what Coach Julebe did, had them all playing around 20 minutes, they all had double-digit scoring. They were executing at a high level. This is a very high-powered starting lineup for Al Ahly.
FBAL debutants, Al Ahly of Libya, are here and they're making an impact here in the Nile Conference in BAL Season 4. And as we can see, Diabate getting the ball out. And, you know, there's an important player. There's Kevin Murphy, of course, playing such an integral role for this Al Ahly team. But look at Solomon Diabate, such a pivotal player.
It's one of the best games I've seen him play, Solo Diabate. 17 points and 7 of 8 shooting and 5 rebounds, 5 assists. All of this off the bench. And he comes off the bench and impacts the game in an amazing way. He was 100% from the free throw line, and he got down the court, downhill twice for 4 fast break points. The Ivorian led the way from the front, and he will look to do the same coming off the bench today. Deng and Achuel inside the paint. That South Sudanese front court, very impressive on the boards. They were really doing an amazing job on the inside. Now, when you look at Murphy and Jackson, they played heavy minutes. How much of an impact that will have in terms of their duration and their legs on the floor, but they gave good input in terms of 21 and 20 points respectively.
They managed to stretch away against Bangui and put themselves, you know, it was the battle of the debutants in the BAL. But what they've showed is resilience and the ability to stay ahead, getting key points, sitting on that lead, and then stretching it as the game went into its final minutes.
And this is where you've got to respect rotation and rotation management. You know, Coach Jeremic tried to utilize as much of his bench as possible, but had to go to the experience of Murphy and Jackson. But a better job being done by Coach Zubre, and utilizing, being able to go deeper in his rotation, utilizing this man here, Ea Bamid. And he will, like I said, be a very key figure when we have a look at that outstanding performance in game one. But this is for a little bit of a psychological advantage. Important to see what is in the rotation for both teams. And we'll see some interesting developments on the floor for sure. And Diabate, the Ivorian, amazing work on the floor. 17 points, 88%. I don't think I've seen him play a better game than what we saw in that opening encounter.
But there's also a little important thing to say about that man, Solo Diabate, is that he's playing against the team that he won, you know, the BAL Season 3 title with tonight. He comes up, he'll come off the bench, and he'll be like, right then, guys, I know exactly what you're doing, how you function, and I'm going to come and shake things up a little bit. And that's a very interesting angle to take when we actually look at this battle.
Well, absolutely. A two-time champion in the Basketball Africa League. He was just not able to unlock it with Petro. Will he be able to do it here in the fourth season? I guess that is a question as well.
Here we go then, ladies and gentlemen. Showtime here in Cairo as Lions gets hold of the ball for Al Ahly Libya. There are a lot of Al Ahly mentions tonight. Mitchell Jr. going up for a big shot there that just rolls off the side, and it will be the Al Ahly Libya team that will get possession here with Pappy Jack and into the hands of the ever dangerous man that is Majok Deng. This is going to be riveting. It really is. The South Sudanese player going up and trying to loft it over the top. Little bit of contacts there. And, well, we already see them basically underlining their intentions, Kim.
Mitchell Jr. gets whistled for the foul. And we got to see what Deng was able to do inside the paint. And also his ability to stretch the floor. He's a proven scorer. And playing out of Australia for the Tasmania Jack Chumpers, that was the team's name, and he really did contribute quite a bit for them to lead them to a championship.
No first point scored from the free throw line for the moment from Deng, but he'll go back up and try and do the business there. Majok Deng, of course, studied at Indian Hills in the US of A from South Sudan. And lots of wonderful representatives down at the second shot as it rolls and falls off the wrong side of the ring.
Well, I was part of the South Sudanese World Cup team and part of the World Cup qualifying, and he'll obviously be trying to get a place in the Olympics.
Yeah, little Deng's in town, so he'll be watching and trying to get hold of the right players. Emin goes up and he tries to find the first basket for Al Ahly. Lots of supporters here making lots of noise. This is the way that we like it. Ali Jack just getting the ball back in, and there's a good opportunity for Murphy. Murphy can't score. Made safe. Look at that pass. That is sensational. Second chance and an opportunity again for that man. Deng can't get it in.
Yeah, must be a lid on the bucket at this point, or Deng must feel that way. Can't find his touch here.
And then Emin Oil just off the side. Brushes the side off the rim. Picked up by Murphy. Murphy goes up. Habida. Dak going up, and he unable to get the right angle there. Oh, it's a bit frantic the start here. Lions gets down. There's Mitchell Jr. Gets the first score for Al Ahly of Cairo.
Well, that might settle down both teams. A little bit of a frantic start in this battle. It's a derby game.
Hey, look, we're going to be, you know, twitching from one side of the court to the other in the way that this ball has been passing around. Quick transition, the way we like it. And opportunity knocks here for Murphy. Nice little move. Holds it and then releases.
Looking to go back to the basket against Ahly, able to manufacture a shot and pick up a score.
Picked up, there's Prince Ahly just going into the paint, gets the ball back out. Opportunity here as they go again. There's Mark Lyons, nicely done. He just ghosted around that man, Majok Deng, to get the bucket there.
Super quick, slithers by and gets two. Hit the right-hand layup.
Happy getting caught up in the thicket as he went on a little bit of a weaving, slaloming move into the paint. It's 4 points for Al Ahly, 2 for Al Ahly from Libya. And ball in the hands of the Libyan team. Sneaky play, isn't he?
Very sneaky, very crafty, and very versatile.
Murphy back out. There's a chance for Bappi to get his three-pointer! Fantastic. It's Ali Libya moving ahead. Quick transition. He steals the ball. This is fantastic. Stolen. Bappi goes up for three. Well, it just comes off the wrong side. But look at that. That's great work. Underneath the ring, sorting it out. Deng with the rebound.
But Deng finally able to unlock his offense. Gets the two on the crashing the board.
And just slowing things down a little bit before accelerating. That's the way that he plays his game. Wonderful player and a wonderful ambassador for Egyptian basketball. Of course, Prince Ahly trying to out-muscle the big boys. Lovely floater over the top. Oh, you could have just took the picture and hung it up in the Louvre.
Comfortable move, gets into the body of Deng to create the space, and is able to finish with finesse.
Happy in possession, frantic, frenetic start. Over 3 minutes in, Murphy trying to get himself a little bit of time and space. Doesn't manage to get the little finger roll over the top and in. But still, 1 point lead for Al Ahly Libya. Mitchell Jr., nicely done. Ketchum, it's the first time he's touched the ball.
It's the first time he's touched the ball. Beautiful feed from Mitchell. Defense comes out to him. He finds the open man, and Ketchum, easiest two he'll have in this competition, I think.
And that was just a little lapse in concentration. Eamon's just complaining. The foul is going against him, and so we won't see that for a moment. Let's have a look at this. That's that pass there. Sumptuous.
Slides just off the fake screen, gets inside. And that's a great read. Keju is wide open for the easy two.
Yeah, he's unchallenged. Could have scored with his eyes closed, Q, just like you used to when you were in your prime. There's Bappi going up. He does it so well, teasing the players, moving aside, gets himself a little space. Wonderful layup.
A swivel step there from Bappi Jackson.
Is that what you call it, is it?
Gets inside to finish it. That's what it's called.
That's what you call it. Sneaky footwork, wonderfully done. Snazzy, I like it. Picked up by that man, Deng. Pappy picks it up. He's got support down there, but it goes in. Look at that. That is the big statement that we were looking for. Sensational. Actual.
Challenged on that one, but still with enough poise to make the bucket count.
Whoa, off the side. And Prince Ahly unable to score there. Goes back out. There he is once again. Moving everybody out of the way. Clear the way. Clear the path. That's who is in town.
We are seeing fantastic passing, good decision making, and some excellent finishing here.
15-8, it's a five-point lead over Coach Julvay. As you can see, he's a little bit animated, but both coaches looking, watching, understanding, trying to find ways as Eamon goes on a little bit of a one. There's a little bit of contact, enough contact for the officials to say, yeah, you've got to be careful. Eamon just went over. And I think it was Bill Hatch, I think, who just got behind him.
Now we have a look at that transition play, the drop-off, and that superb finish from Archiwell.
Eamon, ducking, diving, swivel movement. That is just delightful. How about that for a score from Tony Mitchell Jr.? The pass, world class.
The chemistry, tangible, beautiful find, and the cutting on the baseline from Mitchell.
Murphy's law is what the tale of the opening encounter against Bangui. Let's see what he can do now. The ball goes out. Great opportunity here. He goes up and tries to find the Prince Ali two-pointer. Back out to Eamon for three!
Credit Ali, because he stayed with the play. He missed the first two couple of attempts, had a third opportunity, kicked out to Eamon, and he knocks down a long-range shot.
Picked up by Dang into the hands of Mahmoud has experienced Libyan player. Happy picks the ball up, tries to move past Kajou, but there is contact. He's a little bit stunned, goes down. I think there's contact on the face, accidental, a little bit of a whip movement. 4:05 left on the clock, but we'll square at 13 points apiece.
Well, what a frenetic, fantastic opening stanza of play. We've seen some great basketball from these two rivals in this derby, and we are locked up at 13.
And there's the Mitchell Jr. layup there. 13 points apiece. We'll take a small break.
Basketball Africa League on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi. We're joined by Mike Harvey and Paulo Fono here in the studios. Guys, fast paced offense. Both teams are coming up, firing from both ends.
Man, yeah. The derby's looking good. The derby's looking really good.
Yeah.
Egypt playing against Libya, both of them El Ahly teams. So when we say El Ahly, you know it's either one of them. So we'll try to clarify for you guys, but both of them, as we take our first little timeout, 13-13. What is sticking out to you?
Majar. Dang. Gotta say that name one more time. Majar. That guy
put some
tall,
respect on the Majar.
That boy can put it. He is playing. He's balling out, man.
Absolutely.
He's balling out. He's looking really impressive.
Even though Libya is the debutant team here, they're not.
They've got veterans of the game, man.
They've got veterans of the game.
I like how they've come out. You know, they got these two tall Sudanese kind of to shield the bucket. But at the same time, the other Al Ahly is coming out and making good shots.
Absolutely.
I'm just impressed how they have the rebound on point. And once again, it looks like so far the formula has been rebound, send it off to Majak, and he's got it up on his rebound.
You got to feed these big guys, man.
He's being fed real good.
Absolutely. Again, Basketball Africa League, and get your Jax Joningas. It's the Voice of America. Remember to check us out at voaafrica.com. That's our website. We have play action there too. And, you know, it's turning out to be a great matchup.
13-13.
And nobody's letting up. If they keep their energies, yeah, we might have like our first game into the 100-point mark. Don't you think so, Mike?
Yeah.
It looks like it, but I think it's going to get defensive towards, somewhere after the third quarter. They'll make some changes, and, you know, I want to see a little bit of physicality.
All right,
let's
get back to Cairo.
Tenacity on the boards, ninth rebound for Al Ahly Libya as they just eke out a two-point lead.
6 points for him. Long-range shot doesn't find its way through for that man. Lyons goes up there, picked up by Magic Khan. Can't wriggle himself free. They get possession there. Very frustrating for Al Ahly of Egypt.
There's a lot of intensity on the floor. The pass comes ahead here, and Deng just couldn't hold on, trying to turn, and turned into trouble. And on that look, yeah, Mitchell did look like he got the last touch.
Could have gone either way. And it's into the hands of Majok trying to out muscle Mitchell Jr. Then he goes up, and there it is. Nice score in the arc there.
Definitely comfortable in the mid-range. As soon as he raises up and has separation, you can just see the soft touch on that finish.
Yeah, he was very prominent in the paint. Here is Eamon just getting himself rid of him. How he manages to do that, that is pretty impressive, isn't it? And he just managed to sneak the ball to Kedju, who finishes it off. He's got the Midas touch.
Well, Kedju has got the Midas touch right now. Right time, right place for his second bucket.
Papi rolls the ball over to Deng, picked up by Ilhaj. Papi gets it back. A little bit of support there, goes through, and there's a foul there committed by Lions on Achuil.
Happened in the screen action, just as Papi went around the screen and Lions gets tangled up with Achuil, but gets called for the foul.
Murphy will get this ball back in play. Picked up by Deng. Murphy goes out wide. Achuil trying to go through the middle. Tries to hook it over the top. Kedju gets caught up. A little bit frustrated there as he gets a little bit of contact from that man, Mahmoud Bilhaj.
Yeah, a little bit unnecessary. It'll frustrate post player. You see the short on the hook shot. And Bilhaj trying to get the ball or wrap the ball away from Mahmoud. All he does is wrap him in the face, and that's going to be a foul call.
That's his second foul for Bilhaj, so he needs to be a little bit careful, hence the reason why he's being replaced by a certain Solo Diabate, two-time winner of the Basketball Africa League, of course, and a player that we've got to know very, very well here on African soil, playing in this league, and for the Cote d'Ivoire national team, of course, previously. Nice turn. Mitchell Jr. gets a second chance and gets a bucket finally. And we're all level at 17 each.
Every time there's a great defensive play, the ball spills in the favor of Al Ahly at this point. They continue to ride when fortune favors them, and they pick up two.
Happy going straight to the free throw line. You know what he does is just attract a lot of attention, and the attention coming from the defense will obviously, you know, create opportunities to score, because he just gets in everybody's face and he's not afraid to. A very physical player, isn't he, Papi Jackson?
Well, after having a look at him and seeing what he did in the opening count there, and also historically where and how he's played, definitely a part of the scouting report, and having a look at him with ball in hand, you've got to figure out coverage around his versatility. There's a 13th second round pick, 42nd overall, picked up by the Philadelphia 76ers as he made his way into the NBA. Played a season in the Dallas Mavericks, but also was picked up out of China.
Well, that's where he came from, wasn't it? It was his last club that he played for.
And the Nanjing Monkey Kings.
And a pair of points for him, up to seven. Top scoring for Al Ahly Libya. And here he is getting himself as Ghazawi. Just 19 years of age, played a lot of time on the floor. Oh, that's just sensational. I mean, hits another three-pointer. And that is bombastic from the main man.
He seems to favor the left-hand side of the court when he comes down. He likes the corner and the elbow, and he's highly effective from those areas.
He'll be finding Deng. Deng's got Solo Diabate. Comes up against a guy who's a little bit younger than him. 19, long-range shot coming up off the rim and back out. Eamon gets it out wide. Opportunity here. That's a Ghazawi shot, doesn't fall. Diabate makes it safe. Back out to Murphy. Down into the corner. Achuil does really well. A little sneaky move. You see the shuffling footwork.
You got Kedju caught flat-footed and just swiped and went by, and was an easy finish.
Kedju caught in the lights.
Stuck in the mud just a little bit.
Prince Ali, Kedju. You want to gain revenge, of course. You know, every time you get something like that happens, you want to hit back. There's a chance going out wide. Big long-range shot. Doesn't manage to hit a target. Petru. Oh, Mitchell Jr. That's not going to count because the shot clock was violation.
He just doesn't get it off in time. Perhaps instead of making the pass, should have gone right up. But he recognizes that he did not see what was on the shot clock. And now we have some substitutions on the floor for Coach Augusto Jube.
We got a certain Omar Al-Rabi coming on, of course. One of the star players, 218. Quite a big guy, of course, we know. And, well, he's top quality, the Egyptian international. Solo Diabate. Back to Deng to Murphy. Murphy trying to use that man to give him the block that he needs. Just to shield and make space. Doesn't happen. Back out to Prince Ali. Prince Ali scything through the defence. And the attempted under and up from Murphy Jr. doesn't happen.
But you like the adjustment. We saw them try that play a little bit earlier. Didn't go the long range shot.
And the end of the first quarter is done. 20-21. And Al Ahly Libya have a one-point lead against the defending VAL champions. And a good operation there for Ivan Jaramich. 20-21.
Wow, what a frenetic first quarter. It was high-paced, high-intensity, and there's very little to choose between these teams, as the scoreboard represents.
We'll take a small break, and we'll be back for more here in Cairo.
Basketball African League coverage right here on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi, joined by my colleague,
Mike Ober.
And we're here joined by Paulo Fuono.
Pleasure.
He's our colleague here from the Washington, D.C. area. We're watching the Nile Conference. This is second day of the Nile Conference. Egypt taking on Libya. 20 for Egypt, Al Ahly Egypt, and 21 for Libya. Mike, I was saying again, even though Libya is a debutant team, they are putting on quite a fight. But really, are they debutants? If you see that, most of these guys have actually played.
They've been playing in ball anyway.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so again, it's really tough to gauge the caliber, the level of basketball in a country.
In Libya.
If all the guys that are playing for you, you know, foreigners or journeymen, like I like to call them. But I gotta say, just give a shout out to the organizers in Egypt that we have. At least the arena is 70% capacity, and that really shows the kind of interest also in you know basketball locally. Also says that you know the local league has put in time and resources and effort to try and mobilize fans to come and fill the seats.
People come out for Al Ahly. Early on, we were talking about how Al Ahly itself is as a brand. It's within itself, within its own right. They've got an established soccer team that is well known on the continent. Al Ahly is a basketball team; they're well known. So I can only see why people turned out for this game. The
Absolutely.
First game wasn't as packed,
Absolutely.
But this one definitely the stadium. You can hear the crowd.
Right. Rockets. So they have an inbuilt fan base that has been following them for years,
and
they'll always turn up for the matches, when
they're
playing. And this is a big team for a big, I mean, they are the home team, they have home court advantage. You would hope that they are going to take the Nile Conference, but the way things are looking, Libya is coming out strong. All the debutant teams this year are coming out strong, and as it stands, Al Ahly of Egypt has 20 points, 21 points for Al Ahly. Libya, Luwal Akir has 8 points with two South Sudanese playing for the Libyan team. And let's get back to Cairo.
Sorry, he's refereed a lot in the G League. He's the main official out here today. As we see that man Nasser flying off his feet there. And Jean-Sauve Ruhamariza of Rwanda and Amir Taboubi of Tunisia are the main officials. That was a little bit of a Superman dive when he flew out. Luckily, he's okay.
Commitment to the play.
Oh, it's a bad pass to the feet, that was. And I just couldn't do anything with it. It's a complicated scenario when you get that ball so low down, especially if you're big like yourself. You know all about that. Sofyan Hamad unable to do anything with it.
Nothing you can do when the ball is passed to your feet. Hamad unable to do anything, and it's a turnover.
Patrick Gardner coming on and getting his first chance to shine. Picked up a few points in the opening clash. Took him a while though, but finally got himself a few points. As Arabi trying to get the ball into the path of his teammate there, Nasser.
Well, Robbie, a decent enough pass in the out of the post scenario, but you like to see him be a little bit more aggressive with ball in hand.
Gendi rattles the medal. It comes back out. Sulu Diabate really forgets the ball. All good. Into the hands of Pappy. Pappy Jackson there, just using the shield, and a lovely, very, very classy jump shot there just to get the 2 points.
Yeah, as soon as there's drop coverage, Pappy Jackson has the ability to make the shot from long range, and he does.
Actually a 3-pointer that, was it, for the storm to the outside. And Alali.
Now all of that defense, that intensity from Pappy Jackson draws the foul from Orabi, who's trying to create separation with an illegal screen.
Bit frustrating. Now we saw what El Gendi was up to in the opening encounter. They managed to beat the City Oilers quite comfortably. Diabate in possession here. Murphy swings it back out. Good opportunity here for the shot's just not on target there for Hamad, the Libyan. And Gendi, I bet they've looked and probably studied what he's doing. He ghosts himself into the paint. That's a good pass, that is, to that man. Orabi won't stop him in that position. A monster dunk there, big time from that man, Orabi.
Almost a picture-perfect way to utilize the pick-and-roll as Orabi cuts in to get the ball up over to his 7-2 frame, and he's able to finish.
And Murphy, traveling call against Murphy, who's left a little bit frustrated there.
And just look at passing over the double team into Orabi, and there's no one that's going to come across on the help. It's an easy finish for the towering center.
Taken forward by Yazawi. Yazawi, Orabi. Nasser using Orabi, trying to hide behind him as he tries to get something going here. Nasser goes out, lovely touch around Sulu Diabate to off the boards.
That big frame of Orabi allows the guards to create some space, and he sets a good screen, allowing the score from Nasser.
Stunning score that from Diabate. He knows that he's got to go high away from the big trees.
Good decision making is what separates Diabate from a lot of guards, and he comes off the bench and gives you that ability to read.
Patrick Gardner unable to finish that one off. New York born Egyptian international Diabate for a big attempt at 3 points. Picked up by Achuil. Murphy goes for his strong range shot just on the edge of the arc. Picked up and recycled here by El Gendi. Gendi goes himself. That's what he does so well. This time he doesn't manage to do it. Opportunity here for Rabi. Again, he's in that position where he'll take the pass and he'll guarantee points from that position.
Well, I think we're going to see some work around what Orabi is doing inside the paint. He's got three touches on the last three possessions, and he's given good value. They're looking for him, they're utilizing him, and he's causing a problem inside the paint.
Have a guess what? We're all square at 26 points apiece as we see that man, Orabi, doing the business. That was Gardner earlier. And we're going to take a small break. We'll be back after the timeout in a few moments.
Next to 26 for both teams. Egypt, El Ahly Egypt, and Libya, El Ahly. I guess El Ahly Libya. It's 26-26. Both teams are actually putting on such a show. Quite a performance. Fast-paced game. The point guards, you can see that they're doing a phenomenal job just feeding the ball to their shooters, to people cutting. Like, all the basics, the fundamentals are down and locked. Yeah, very impressive. What is catching your eye in this game so far, Paul?
I mean, I think El Ahly, Libya is relying too much on shooting. I mean, you have these two guys, you got to pound it down low just a bit.
Yeah.
You got to feed these guys because, you know, if a big man doesn't feel the ball,
you're wasting him.
You're wasting him. Yeah. There's too much shooting going around. I think if they just start feeding down low and getting easy buckets, to the hole, something can happen out of this,
6 minutes and 56 seconds into the second quarter. is 26-26 for both teams. Libya El Ahly, Libya is a debutant team. Like we said earlier, it's really tough to call it a debutant team if you see some of the names that we've seen before in the league. But they're making their first appearance at the Basketball Africa League in the Nile Conference. Egypt El Ahly is a storied franchise. You know, it's been around for a while. They have the resources. They can pull as many players, but they decide to use mostly local players. That in itself is a sign that they've been developing talent over the years, and right now they're shining on their home court. Let's go back to Cairo.
Derby, and we're seeing some high quality basketball unfold right in front of our eyes.
Nicely done. There's a Murphy who goes down, scores the points, tries to claim that there was contact, and falls on deaf ears.
Fantastic work by Murphy, individual offense, and so skillful he is when he's creating his own shot.
That goes in, finally! Up in the air, Gardner doing the business. Good move there, big time.
Yeah, that's just straight up excellent execution from Al Ahly. They create that move for Gardner, and he finishes this time. He blew the last one, made sure to finish this one.
Here's Murphy again, who's just outrageously good. Isn't it? I don't think the points will count on that occasion. Oh, they will. Sorry, there was contact. Let's have a look at this again. That was just brilliant.
For Gardner left alone. It's the recognition, the court vision on the pick from Arabi. And right there it is. Two up top. Alley-oop.
Murphy with the extra points. It's a three-point lead for Ivan Jeremic and his man.
Second round, 47th overall, picked up by the Utah Jazz. Kevin Murphy.
Gizawi. Oh, he's unable to get the ball out to Elgendi. Diabate just gets in the way, unable to take the pass or intercept, but still does enough.
Well, it's an important possession. It is for Al Ahly Egypt. A little bit of separation possible here on a good defensive possession.
Shot clock down to two. Got to get it up and got to get it in. It doesn't go in, and it's been picked up. Appy has the ball in hand here, and he's got 10 points. First play to get a double figures. Long range shot coming in off the edge of the rim. Picked up, and they get another chance. There's the opportunity. Murphy goes up. Murphy doesn't manage to get his points on that occasion, which is quite rare, but they still get the ball back in their hands. Oh no, it's actually last touch was from a early Libya player.
Well, they did the hard work on the defensive end. They just couldn't find a bucket. That Murphy had a shot that he was looking at. Diabate trying to contest, and we try and have a look here, and it looks like last touch does come off
Gardner.
No, looks like it comes off Hamad. Hamad trying to hold the ball, trying to steal it away from Gardner, and it looks like it goes out. And if it's that difficult for us, you can imagine how difficult it is real time.
That's a good recovery, that is, Kira. I like that. I like that. I like your style. You got in there. Well, listen, you know, we're going to go for a review because all of these key moments, you know, are pivotal in how, you know, the story is, you know, unveils itself this evening here in Cairo. So that man, Kenneth Gardner. We'll go and see if Patrick Gardner touched it or Hamad. We'll get to find out in a moment. They're not related, by the way.
Not related at all. And while we have a chat, just look at the tail of the tape in terms of stats. There's very little to choose between these two teams. They're 16 and it's plus one in favor of Al Ahly in terms of rebounds. They've hit the same amount of threes. They're both 20% from the outside. And the score line really reflecting what the stats are telling us is that there's... The two teams are well matched up in almost every position.
You know, it's just a question of time. Coach Djoulibe is always going to make sure that he's got the right players coming in to, you know, fill those spaces for the international players. But Patrick Gunn is an interesting player to come in and, you know, went to the Summer League with the Miami Heat last year.
born in New York, but can play for Egypt.
Yeah, and I think he's exciting for the Egyptian crowd because, you know, in the World Cup, he had good numbers for Egypt, 8 points, 4.8 rebounds, 1.2 assists. He had 22 points against Mexico. It shows you that he's got an ability to score. And what he did for the Long Island Nets in the G League towards the end of the year is why they would be so happy or why they'd be very excited about what he can potentially offer on the floor. Career highs in terms of scoring and rebounding, 24 points, 14 rebounds in his last outing the 24th of March.
Well, the official review continues. Difficult to separate the two, and they do have it. It was Gardner.
It was Gardner. You got it right.
Well, I mean, you know, it doesn't happen very often, Q, but I'll take it.
You got it.
So, Solo Diabate was right. He was like going, cannot be serious. This is definitely going to be our best ball. They get their play back, and now they got a chance to try and extend that 3-point lead in this tight tussle here midway through the second quarter here in Cairo. Diabate looking for Murphy. Picked up by that man, Al Maghribi. One of the big guys in this team. Murphy goes up and he doesn't manage to sink the points. Actually, goes down.
And you see a look of frustration on the face of Omar Orabi. And we just couldn't see that direct line of sight in terms of what happened. But nice separation from Murphy as he gets the shot off. And then just the bump off the ball and the contact is called. So it'll still be Al Ahly Libya basketball.
Diabate goes up. He gets closer and closer to the target, but finally his shot doesn't find its way through. El Genny gets the ball out. Oh, how about that? Get out. You're not coming through. If I've got anything to do with this.
France, just great defense and great heads-up play from Al Maghribi. Read the play well, got stuck into the ball, was able to time it off the backboard. And this is a 3-on-1 break. Again, you're looking to get that finish. And look at that athleticism.
Fantastic. Ball comes up. An opportunity here has been picked up. That's a great pass. Somehow finds its way. El Genny for three. Doesn't get a shot. Solo Diabate picks it up, but there's contact.
Well, both teams have just struggled in the last minute to try and convert their possessions. It's again that mysterious litter on the bucket has shown itself here, but I don't think it'll be too long before we get another score.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you know, I'm just looking at El Genny. He's himself in the reckoning. Played a fantastic first opening clash against City Oilers. Some wonderful scoring from him, but he hasn't managed to get his first points out here, and we're, what, 4.5 before the end of the half. Here he is, Achuel of South Sudan. A little fullback attempt. Genny picks it up. He's got Gardner to his right. Nasser to Arabi. Well, he's just got in the way. Al Gharibi claims that it's a travelling call. I think it is a travelling call, isn't it? Because that was stopped from Morabi to climb up.
Well, I guess we'll have a look here. And gets a chance to establish himself. He turns baseline. Loses the ball a little bit. I don't necessarily...
I think there was a hand underneath. Anyway.
Yeah, I think that call could have gone the other way, but it is going to be Al Ahly Libya basketball.
Sneaky moves. A defensive play from that man, Al Maghribi.
Definitely had a presence inside the paint since he's been on.
Happy to Murphy. Back up to Achuel. Achuel Orabi is the matchup of the bigs here today. Yesterday was Malawash and Orabi. That's nicely floated up over the top, but he doesn't get his direction. Achuel does have possession. Another chance for Papi. Tries to get rid of his man. Gardner goes into it. Oh, it's under and up and in. What he did there was just, it was magician work.
Super skillful. They first managed to get Gardner in there, slid along the baseline, and then was able to manufacture a shot around the rim.
And a 5-point lead. Oh, fantastic long-range shot there going in. Nice stuff there from that man, Orabi.
No, That was Gardner rocket knocking down that
long range
shot.
Gardner, I do apologise. And Diabate wandering through the thicket, tries to go underneath. And there is contact. Let's get an understanding of what happened here.
That shot from Gardner, very important. This keeps them back within 2 points. And while we wait to find out, and Diabate, hands on hips, tries to get inside.
That's an unsportsmanlike foul from Solo Diabate, in fact, because there it is, trying to tackle Kendi on the ground. You can't do that.
Well, that's just a show of frustration. While we have a look at that beautiful baseline drive, and you know, the up and under ran the finish from Pierre Papi Jackson.
It's ridiculously good to do all of that while in the air. You know, basically, you've got to tip your cap to that man.
Wow, that's just what makes basketball a beautiful game.
Those guys who are capable of flying, the aerodynamics. And Kenny gets his second point, but not the first. But they get possession back from the unsportsmanlike foul on that man, Diabate. And we'll take a look at this again. Anyway, there he is. Look, you cannot do that. Don't try and get tangled up with El Gendi.
There might even be a case for, you know, a scaling up of that foul based on what we're seeing there. That does not look like it's an attempt for the basketball. That doesn't show a frustration from that man, Solo Diabate.
And again, he picks the ball up. Gardner makes the move. Orabi's there. Nasser and Gizawi are the players on court. Gizawi picks it up, goes for a big three-pointer. Oh, my! 19 years of age. Make yourself a hero here in Cairo.
Well, big-time shot-making under pressure. The defense in front of him, but still able to knock down the shot. Nice composure.
Papi back in possession. They've now moved 2 points ahead. 2:40 left in this first half. Murphy picks it up, gets rid of his man, out wide to this man, Deng. Deng's shot just rattles. It's in and out, picked up by El Gendi. El Gendi moves to the right, gets rid of Diabate, and that's what he does. He's super dangerous. Gendi, mania, and masterful here.
Soon as he finds space inside the key, he is a threat to any defense. And that fantastic left-hand float, the game of his, on full show.
I think he's a fantastic player. I really do, because he's so deceivingly difficult to read, that he goes on those wandering moves, and all of a sudden, you know, he's like, the pass hasn't been made. Oh, he's going for the score. Timeout called by Ivan Djemic.
Well, he's been a member of the Egyptian national team since 2009. He's a career high of 30 points against the Côte d'Ivoire. Has been with Al Ahly since 2020. And you know, his numbers in the BAL have been constrained, to say the least. Just 2 points, when team synergy matters a lot. And another look at that beautiful play.
Yeah, there's the alley-oop with Gardner. Just, you know, when it's placed up in the air, it's even better when you've got a slow-mo.
It just looks so much better.
37-33. Gardner getting himself a few important points, up to 5 points there. But we've only got one player in double figures, and that is Papi Jackson with 12 points. What I'm concerned about is Lions picking up that third foul quite early on in the game. And that basically means that, you know, he's such an important player for this Al Ahly team from Cairo that, you know, to have him benched out with 4 fouls would be a problem, because he'd have to change his tactics a little bit.
Well, I guess we will only see him a little bit later on, but let's have a look at what's been going on. And you talked about Pierre Jackson, 12 points, 2 rebounds and 4 of 8 shooting. Kevin Murphy has taken 10 shots, has been inefficient, he struggled just a little bit, some good defense on him. And the scoring spread on Al Ahly Egypt will always be wide, because they've got such depth on their bench.
Yeah, and they know how to use the players. Coach Gilbey now has you know, the knowledge and the experience within not just Egyptian basketball, of course, because he knows about Zamalek as well, but just the fact that he knows how to bring players. He's got systems that he knows functions really well, and he can move players around, and they still manage to work an absolute treat. Pappy with a big three!
15 points now for Pappy Jackson. He's going to spearhead the offense every chance he gets.
Will he be making the headlines at the end of the night? That's the big question. Look at that for a score. Well, wrestling himself around the thicket, gets the points, but also draws the foul.
Great awareness here from Gardner. Again, they try to work the pick and roll, the drop-off pass inside. There's contact from that man, Diabate, coming across, and Gardner still presence of mind and awareness to keep his composure for the finish.
But Gendy's pass as well was just sublime, because he waited patiently, and as everybody was thinking, he's going to go for the score himself. No, I'm going to bounce that ball into the path of the big man Gardner, who goes cruising through to finish off the job.
A real live triple threat, Gendy, when he has ball in hand.
And these are the systems and the fives that he can count on. Achuel goes up. That was just brilliant. Fantastic score there.
Mitchell, right time, right place. They are going to wave the basket off, and Achua goes right into the chest of Mitchell on the catch, puts his body on the line right there, and the charge is called.
I think he's still moving. Oh no, I'm not a ref. I'm not a referee. I can't get involved. No, but in any case, it doesn't count. He's a little bit frustrated. The whole team frustrated, but the fact is that it's still very, very exciting here. 1:35 left in this first half. That's a beautiful bucket. He knew it was going in. Gardner with a very silky touch there.
10 Gardner points, and he's got his tail up for sure. And the ball, I think, is going to hit the next time down.
And it's been a pinch stolen. Gendy gets the ball out. He's got Nasser down in the corner there. Ball will go back to Gardner. Gardner, distribution time. And picked up Mitchell Jr. for three. Doesn't manage to sink the point. Made safe by Mitchell. Gets it back out to Diabate. Waits for the cavalry. Cuts inside. Gets the ball back out. Pappy gets rid of Gardner. Tries to go up himself. Oh, he draws the foul. It's going to be a free throw line moment for him. Right. And that's going to be surely.
It should be. And he is just got the foot speed and the skill. Take the extra step. He hops right into the contact and is able to draw the foul. There's so much guile and experience and skill in the way that he goes about his business on the floor. Pappy Jackson, there's a reason he's got 15 points, but they need the score from the free throw line here. It's the biggest lead of the game for Al Ahly Egypt.
Yeah, and his coach Dulemi was just trying to upset the apple cart a little bit and get a play sorted out here defensively to try and deal with Al Ahly. And just try and get points following the free throw shots.
Well, 42-36, we've seen how this game has shifted and turned. And just in the last 2 minutes, Al Ahly Egypt going on a scoring run. Gardner has become the primary offensive go-to guy, and he's showcasing his ability to stretch the floor. The fact that he's a lob threat, he is a 6'11", left-handed scorer, and being afforded the opportunity to express himself a little bit on the offensive end.
Gardner with double figures, of course, 10 points for him, and put himself in the reckoning as a key player, and I think that's really important. Let's have a look at Pappy and what Pappy has been doing, because that pass comes back out. Look at that. Get rid of your man. Get rid of Gardner. Go underneath. Tease a little fake, and then it goes up, and it's remarkable. It's remarkable. Look at the bigs surrounding him.
The ball fake is what gets the young Al-Ghazawi in the air, and then he goes up and under underneath for the score.
Yeah, we love to see this kind of play, and there he is with his 5 from 9, 15 points, 3 from 5, 3 points. It's all coming together. It's a puzzle that's you know, being pieced together perfectly, but it only matters if they actually win.
He has the ability to stuff the stat sheet. We saw that in his opening game, was just 3 rebounds away from a triple-double. Not only his scoring, ball distribution, awareness on the floor, you understand why he was picked up and given an opportunity in the NBA.
Yeah, he got three of his 8 3-pointers in the opening win over Bongi, and 7 of 14 from the field goal percentage, and 20-point tally. But, you know, he was just really, really, he was everywhere, wasn't he? You know, and he's provided us with some wonderful action here since the opening day here on the Nile Conference. We've got 32 seconds remaining, and Gandy going up for the big shot, made safe at the back by Murphy. This defensive game is very important for this Al Ahly Libya team.
Yeah, they should hold for the final shot of this quarter.
10 seconds to go. Pappy makes the call. Atchewil. There's the pass. He's going to go up. Will he get stopped? There's the put in. Nicely done. Atchewil making sure that one of the players from South Sudan was going to nail that.
Well, with 0.2 seconds left, there is a timeout called. I don't think there will be enough time. And I don't think that they are able to call a timeout, not on that ball situation. So, 0.2, I think we're just going to
play it out.
Play it out.
There we go. That's the put in there. And there's the end of the first half. And how about this? This is a riveting showdown between the two Al Ahlis. 42 points for the hosts, 39 for Al Ahly Libya. And game on going into the second half.
All for the game. It's absolutely game on. This is a marquee Nile Conference clash.
We'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Basketball Africa League coverage here on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Like somebody said, a riveting showdown between these two teams.
All for the game.
Yes, Al Ahly Libya and Al Ahly Egypt. The point guard for Al Ahly Libya, Pierre Jackson, who is a former player for the Dallas Mavericks, has played professionally across Europe and also in the NBA G League. Currently, he's the top scorer of this game.
Showdown. With
15 points. 16 points. Looks like it's, as we go into the half, it's 42 for Egypt, Al Ahly, and 39 for Libya, Al Ahly. Both teams are firing on both cylinders. Came out, you know, shooting, doing the basics, the fundamentals. It's quite an interesting game, actually.
Yeah, this game is really proof of the evolution of the Basketball Africa League, how we're now finally seeing two I'll call them giants for a lack of a better word. Al Ahly being veterans on the continent themselves, winning Baal at least twice, if not three times. And of course, the debutants also showing down. As you highlighted, Pierre Deshaun Jackson right now is the leading point guy, 16 points to his name right now. But Patrick Gardner is also doing his thing for Egypt's Al Ahly with 10 points. But I'll still go back to my man, my jock, my jar.
Dang.
3 rebounds to his name. Man, he's looking good himself too. The big man. But if they can feed him more,
feed him the ball.
What it'll look like from a point standpoint.
For sure.
But yeah, stats go on and on. Kevin Marquise Murphy, 6 points. I mean, 6 rebounds to his name. It's looking really good, man.
Just as a reminder, in case you're just joining us, to follow our website, voaafrica.com. We have coverage of the Basketball Africa League fourth season on there. The Nile Conference just started yesterday on the 19th of April. We have some debutant teams. Bangui is from the Gambia is making its debut in this conference. We have Libya.
Yep.
Obviously Burundi. Right now we had Burundi because Burundi is not in the tournament anymore.
But gotta bring them back.
Bring them back, absolutely. Because they did Burundi. Well. They won
their first game. They were looking really good. They were looking really good.
Absolutely. This Nile Conference group phase features five players with the NBA G League experience. We have Thierry Serge Darlan from Bangui. We have Kevin Murphy from El Ahly Libya. We have Pierre Jackson, again, El Ahly Libya. He's their point guard. He played. We have Patrick Gardner, El Ahly, played Egypt. For Egypt, played for Long Island Nets, and Den Miller Jr., who played for the City Oilers. Uganda City Oilers have not had a good
egg. Zero!
Have lost both the games. But we are joined by a Ugandan basketball fan.
He keeps throwing Uganda to make sure that you shoot for the City Oilers.
I need people to know, our listeners. Quite an exciting match that we're watching today here in studio at the Voice of America. Paul, what do you think about this first half?
It's a great matchup between these two giants. I'm beginning to see, Egypt, kind of begin to dominate just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Defensively, they're spreading the ball well, so equally there, everybody has their points.
Mm.
Libya relying a lot on Pierre.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him being subbed at all.
He's played the whole,
He's the engine for this, so if he's shut down, who are they turning to?
Akir, I guess, is the one who has 10 points. Pierre Jackson has 16 points. Yes. Akir has, is that how you say Akir?
Yeah. No, it's Patrick Gardner who has 10.
That's 10? Yeah. Okay. So if anything happens, and the way Pierre Jackson is balling right now, it seems to me this guy is going to
be trouble.
Half the points are coming from him.
Absolutely. And you don't want to be in a situation where you're relying on one guy, because if anything happens,
As the game goes and it gets physical, I think they'll slow him down.
Mm.
What I like about Egypt is every time they come out from a timeout, they're running good plays.
Yeah.
Getting a bucket.
Yeah.
Getting a bucket. So that's been great. It tells you the camaraderie that they have as being a team within.
Absolutely.
Within the country.
Absolutely. They've played together before. Yeah. The chemistry is much better for them.
So they're sharing the ball. They're playing like a team.
Yeah.
Things are moving like a, fine-tuned engine. So let's see how this goes.
Absolutely. Coverage of the Nile Conference here on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Again, El Ahly Egypt playing against El Ahly of Libya. The Nile Conference group phase features eight players from three countries who participated in the FIBA Basketball World Cup of 2023. That's Majok Deng, who's playing for Libya. Kaman Malwach played for City Oilers. Suleiman Diabate, who we saw earlier getting that foul, cobbing, apparently going for the ball, but not the exact ball that he's supposed to be going for, and he got dinged for that. But again, like Mike said earlier, we're looking at an evolution of a game, of a sport on the continent that has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
There's a great future. Just, fourth season so far, and you've seen that progressively the teams have gotten better in terms of scoring, just understanding the fundamentals, using some of the local kids, which I think would be actually a benefit for the countries if you bring in more of these young guys playing in the local leagues to feature on such a big platform here. Mike, which team do you see, at least insofar as watching Kalahari Conference in South Africa, and this is the second day, it's really tough to gauge, but we know that the track record for El Ahly Egypt, but which teams you think that will do well when they go to Kigali in June?
I will go with Al Ahly Egypt, man. They've stood out the test of time, four seasons in, they've gone all the way all four seasons. they're probably favorites, yeah. including to go all the way to Kigali, including in Kigali. I place them up as favorites.
And they've you can good. See how they switch it on.
The way they switch it on and switch it off. Yeah. Once again, you know this composure that comes. It's very pivotal when Absolutely. It comes to these tournaments. Absolutely. Right? You need to know when to turn it on, when to turn it
Absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely.
When the game started, they were all going on, firing full cylinders until you realize, no, let's keep our temperament, start playing more defense.
Yeah.
Initially, they were all going all for the buckets, all for the buckets, all for the buckets. Defense was low, but now you can see the composure in it. They're starting to understand what it takes to get all the way to Kigali, and they're favorites right now, man.
Absolutely. Paul, City Oilers have lost both games.
They're not making it.
They're not making it. There's a chance that, you know, just like the Cape Town Tigers in, you know,
they got to fight you
You know, something might happen for them. I think that each team plays four games.
Four games.
That's correct. So they have two more games. What are the chances they actually do well in the next two games? Have you had anything in the grapevine in how they're kind of rearranging that team too?
Well, I mean, for one thing, let me give them some big advice.
Yeah.
They have a very talented young man, you know, on the team, Malwatch, you know, from Sudan. You know, and I mean, he's surrounded by, you know, 34, 35, 36-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, I think they have to sacrifice just a bit and go out there and get some younger talent to surround this kid with, you know? And let these veterans be teachers and kind of balance their
team mentors
out. Yeah. You know, let them mentor.
Yeah.
And I think something will happen, but they need a lot of luck.
Absolutely.
For the
absolutely.
Next two games, it's going to be a lot of luck. And with the way it's looking, you know, the points they're averaging, I don't think they have a chance. Because if you look at the winning teams that have beat them, they're in the 100 mark of scoring points.
Absolutely.
So defense is a factor.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. We'll see what happens
Another
in the next
team
game.
To point out, Fusterabat. They're still looking good. Fusterabat is still looking good.
Yeah,
from Morocco. Petro Di Luanda.
Yes, of course.
Man, those Angolans.
I was a little disappointed in how they played.
They played
Harare, you know, I was actually surprised. I felt like their level of basketball kind of went down a little bit. But, you know, they were
the ones
team.
Who gave the Cape Town Tigers
absolutely, absolutely. In case you're just joining us, this is the Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. Can you believe we are in the fourth season, y'all?
Baby.
Fourth season.
Let's go.
And after the Karahari Conference in South Africa, which is an expansion this year, the first time they're playing in South Africa, they played in South Africa. They're now in Cairo, in Egypt. You know, one of the things that really, gives me hope is when I see the stadium or the arena with a number, like the seats are filled up. We need bodies inside of that stadium. Whatever you have to do, whether it's selling tickets, advertising, work on the logistics, bring people. Let's watch the game. And that's how basketball will grow.
That's how it grows
continent.
On the continent, man. Yeah, that's correct.
Absolutely. And the Nile Conference, again, Fez features two former Nike Hoop Summit participants, Thierry Serge Darlan, playing for Bangui, which has been so far impressive. Honestly, if anybody had told me that Bangui is going to fill the team in the Basketball Africa League this year, I would have said, you're
it's
crazy.
A dog.
But not only did they come, but they actually have been winning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One of the other players who featured in the Nike Hoop Summit is Kaman Malwach, who is playing for the City Oilers, and hopefully is going to be the difference maker in the next
Blue Devil. Blue Devil. Come on, Oilers. We're going to do something with the Blue Devil with us. Come
and
on.
And we saw Suleiman Diabate, who is kind of a veteran right now in the Basketball Africa League. He's a two-time BAL champion with Zamalek in 2021 and 2022 when he played with Monastir. It is, you know, tough to say. Like, very few people say that I played on the two teams that won the first two tournaments of the Basketball Africa League.
Nice.
And Suleiman Diabate from Cote d'Ivoire making his fourth appearance in the league, and his debut with El Ahly Libya, which is really a good get for El Ahly Libya. You know, Libya country again, which had been in conflict for many years, but it has the resources to be able to pull such players of that type of caliber. In this game so far, as we start the second half, I'm just stuck with NBA NBA parlance. Aside from my man Pierre Deshaun Jackson, aka Papi, with 16 points, Who are the some players that are kind of sticking out to you, Mike?
Well, you keep pointing out Luol Akil, man. Yeah. He's got his 10 points looking good right there. Kevin Marquise Murphy is leading in rebounds with 6 rebounds, but he also has 7 points to his name, so he's got a game up on his name. Mm. Luol Akil has 5 rebounds to his name, so 10 points, 5 rebounds. And then, of course, we'll keep going to my main man, my jock. Rebounds to his name.
Yeah.
So they're looking really good right now. They're pushing up, even though they're still down 39-42. Egypt, Patrick Gardner is leading there with 10 points. We have Ehab Amin Saleh, 6 points. Tony Rashawn Mitchell Jr. with 6 points. And then, of course, rebounds. We've got Sharif Mohammed El Gendi. Man, these guys have long names. 4 rebounds. Mustafa Mohammed El Makawi, 3 rebounds. And Ahmed Amid Saleh with 3 rebounds. Man, oh man, oh man. Those are the stats as to how they look right now.
Right. Egypt as Al Ahly brought back their 2-time BAL champion Augustin Jubé Bosch is their head coach after helping Egypt's Zamalek with win their inaugural Basketball Africa League championship in 2021. Bosch reunites with one of his players from 2021, Mustafa Kejo, and will play against another Slimane Diabate, of course, Libya. 5 players from Al Ahly competed in the 2023 FIBA Intercontinental Cup in Singapore last year. That's Ahmed El Maragi, Marwan Sarhan, Mohamed Al Abdelkawi, Omar Orabi, Ihab Amin, Amil Abdelman. Al Ahly defeated AS Douan in the 2023 BAL Finals to qualify for the tournament. Paul, I want to bring you in here. You know, watching this first half play out, 42 for Egypt. Again, you know, veterans, a team that has been playing, they play together very well. You can see there's more chemistry there. What would you love to see from Libya if they're going to win this? Again, they have, they're the ones that need to make a point if they, you know, to win this. They're the debutant team playing against a veteran team on a home court. What do they need to know to win this?
They need to get the big men involved more, you know, whether it's defensively, you know, but more so offensively. Mm. You know, we're seeing a lot of shooting. You know, the guards are, you know, are taking charge of the game, you know, and the bigs are kind of sitting dormant, you know, and just waiting for them to get a rebound and chuck it outside. But, you know, for them to have a chance, you know, they need to get the bigs involved, get some more scoring down low, you know, but gotta stop Patrick Gardner because
he's looking hot.
Yeah, he's hot. You know, this half coming through, he's you know, he's having a better game than the last one he had when he had 4 points.
Absolutely.
So he's doing great.
In case you're just joining us, this is the Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League 4th season. We're watching Al Ahly play, Al Ahly Libya play against Al Ahly of Egypt. Al Ahly Libya features 2 players who were drafted into the NBA. Kevin Murphy was number 42 overall by the Utah Jazz in the 2012 NBA draft. And then P.L. Jackson, number 42 overall in the 2013 NBA draft by the Philadelphia 76ers, another one of your favorite teams. I mean, that's a while ago, but, you know, these guys
got to drift away from bringing these old folks.
There's mileage on those legs.
That's too much mileage, man. They got to drift away from doing
And by the way, eight, 10 years, you know,
that's
at high performance.
That's a lot of time.
Coming to bar, you know,
you're tired.
Again, I would love to see some of these kids that are part of the basketball, you know, frontier, whatever these programs,
development programs,
be brought in here either on the bench or as starters, because, you know, like you said, many of these guys who have, you know, were drafted in 2012 have a lot of mileage on their feet.
Yeah.
But it's also not a good way to gauge the caliber and the level of basketball in the
Africa,
country,
right?
And BAL as a whole. We're about to start the second half. We're in Cairo, Basketball Africa League. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. We are joined by Mike Hovey, and our friend Paul Ofuono.
Let's go.
Yes, let's go. We're about
the Al-Alis.
the North African.
Al-Alis, the North African Giants. I guess, I don't know if you'd call it the North African Giant Libya, because Monastir's, you know.
Monastir's up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our Fus Rabat of Morocco.
Yeah.
But Libya is trying to, you know, put its mark on this tournament, and we're about to get back to Cairo, people.
The likes of Sepulveda Hindawi, who we'll get to see a little bit later on, and also Ahmed Nadal and Ali Asran. These players, you know, youngsters getting the chance to shine here on the big stage.
They have wonderful youth development out here, and it's the fact that they've been able to integrate the NBA, and the NBA has been able to integrate into this environment, is amazing. The sporting clubs are some of the oldest on the continent.
They are indeed. Deng drops it into the hands of Murphy. Murphy going up to high over the top, and it's been picked up and dealt with. And there's a, oh my word, Pappy with a fantastic three-pointer, and all of a sudden we're level again for the seventh time.
Up to 19 points, and a fantastic way to open up for Al-Ahli Libya as they tie it up.
Very impressive opportunity. And Lions comes on. He's got three fouls, of course, but starting the second half, Happy goes all the way right through. Doesn't manage to get the score, but of course he goes down. There's contact.
Yeah, and something that you see live is the change of speed. It's the ability to make the defense shift, and what he did is get by the defense, and he was trying to utilize the rim on the layup. Unfortunately, he couldn't get the finish, but he does get the foul.
I don't know, I think that sort of, you know, teams taking part in the BAL, if they've got a really fast playmaker who's good and fast at transition, we often see them, you know, stretch and extend their leads and go for good runs, because the transition play is really important for teams to shine here on the continent.
Floor general dictate the pace and the tempo, and there's a difference between going too quickly and having it all under control. Fourth foul for Lions, and that sees him, we'll probably see him go to the bench once again. It's been a frustrating evening for Lions in general.
Yeah, but that's just within the first minute, so you can understand that, you know, that is very frustrating. Imin picks the ball up down into the corner. Prince Ali back to Imin. He's got options, but he decides to go himself, and unfortunately couldn't get the right angle off the glass. Picked up, made safe there. Pappy gets the ball quick down there. That's nicely done. Oh, the quick passing, very smooth, very efficient there, and a fine score there by Hamad.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Said it before. That's beautiful basketball from Al-Ahli Libya.
First time you've said that. No, you've said that before. You definitely said it before. Here we go again with Al-Ahli. Just trying to push. They've got a three-point lead. Al-Ahli Libya. Amin just around the back and tries to go off the paint. Doesn't manage to get it. Another failed attempt to try and get points. Murphy goes charging through Prince Ali, and he is moving. The foul's been committed. He'll go to the free throw line. Well, how about this? This is frantic since the start. Everything has been about Al-Ahli Libya, because they haven't managed to get those points on the phases of attack, and just look, he just gets tangled up.
Well, you almost get the sense that Ali's timing just off a smidgen, and that detail is what sends Murphy to the free throw line. And Murphy was perfect from the free throw line so far. It's been an ideal start for Al-Ahli Libya out of the break.
Well, there is Ivan Jeremic, just working well. The Serbian from Pristina, 62 years of age. And lots, a very colourful CV, hasn't he, Kier? He's been around and coached many teams, and finds himself here at the helm of this Al-Ahli Libya team. As we see that man, Mitchell Jr., just carving through, draws the foul from the big man, Atchouel.
It's tough inside the paint. And yes, we talked about his history, colorful history, but also a history of winning throughout Europe and in the Middle East. And then he comes back here trying to pick up a title in Africa.
Yeah, of course, winning in Bahrain, that was one of the leagues that he managed to conquer. But, you know, I love the coaches who move around continents, gain the experience, and then they come here to the BAL, and they're like, wow, you know, this is an extraordinary league. look what it's all about. We're here for a reason. And this BAL is the best in the business. It really is. And it's getting bigger and better. We've got a new conference. Come on.
We have more games. We have more teams. It's just bigger, better, and it's all for the game.
Yeah. More words sometimes as well. Here we go. Dang. Oh, my word. Get out of there. Mitchell Jr. is literally, I'll snatch that out of the sky and stop you from going through.
Great anticipation, and then you see the contact just on Keju a little bit, and that's why the ball spills out of bounds.
There we go, just going up, and Murphy going up, and there's the foul that's been committed. It's a defensive foul, Keju. And Murphy will go to the free throw line. Will the points count?
Points won't count. And Murphy's got this good or this innate ability to draw fouls because of the way that he plays. And he looks to draw fouls so he can get to the free throw line and try to maximize every possession when he does get the opportunity to touch the ball.
This time the second goes in and they're up to 48-5 point advantage. We've got some Libyan fans here from supporting Al Ahly just over on the other side of where we're commentating. I can tell you they're making a lot of noise. Prince Ali in possession. Lyons is back on. He's got four fouls. Here he is for Al Ahly. Just going around Papi. Tries to go for the mid-range two. And it's a fine score indeed with 7:20 left in the third.
Find space around the screen, wide open on the baseline. Enough time and space to knock down the shot.
Ball going down into the corner. Picked up by that man, Sofyan Hamad. Papi gets it back. Danger lurking with Murphy. Murphy tries to go around Amin. That's a nice little matchup. Doesn't manage to get his shot over. Amin does make the foul, though. And that's foul number two for one of their star players. No, it's going against Murphy, I think.
Yeah, Murphy is trying to be too creative in drawing the foul. Trying to work, I mean, gets into his body again. He jumps right into the body of Amin and then goes down. And that situation becomes a little bit tricky when players get tangled on the floor.
That's it. Well dealt with by the officials. Lyons, Ali. Keju lurking around. Mitchell Jr.'s there as well. Lyons picks it up. Goes flying in. There's a good rebound. Mitchell Jr. does the business there. I tell you, he's coming to the fore now. He's moved up to 9 points, sorry.
Well, there's a little bit of table tennis touching the ball above the rim, but eventually Al Ahly come away with the score on that possession.
Achuil around Keju. Oh, lovely. Over the top, a floater.
That is a tough shot to make, especially falling away from the defense. Highly skillful make from Achuil.
Amin just gets rid of his man. That is just prime play, but I'm afraid that it won't count.
It's Keju getting caught for the hold underneath. That's how Amin got all of that space. Referee right there to make the call.
We'll look from this replay. Just look where. Look at Keju. He's basically, I mean, he's bear-hugging Murphy, isn't he?
It's a battle. Oh,
Aliyu, put it in! Dang with the damage there, big time!
Well, we saw this combination work. Magic in the second half in that opening win for Al Ahly Libya. Papi Jackson and Dang working in unison up top.
And they managed to move 5 points ahead. And the Al Ahly Libya fans making a lot of noise. Off the glass, put it in there. Prince Ali, a royal shot from downtown.
They say so you've got to call glass and you've got to call bank. I don't think Ali did, but the basket will count.
Down the baseline, Achuil. Having a few issues there, but Keju has put himself on the official's radar on that occasion. And he will pick up his, I think it's his third, isn't it?
I think it is his third foul.
Just going to clarify that, but I think that is
second
foul. Sorry, you're right.
Fourth team foul.
They have to be a little bit careful. You know, the discipline But, you know, it's still a very close game. And we just know that Al Ahly are fully capable of just moving ahead in the key moments. But just look at that. It's Kedju just getting in the way of Achille Jr.
Hey, you know, I'm such a fan of watching the bigs go at it down inside the painted area around the baseline. Achille comes away. He gets a chance to go back to the charity stripe. The 29-year-old, listed at 6'11". Baylor Bear in 2016-18, South Sudanese international.
One of many here in Cairo. Prince Ali, Mitchell Jr. waits for him in. Amin back to Mitchell Jr. Oh, he's gone in. Look at Bappi, steals the ball, stolen again by Ali. Ali, Prince Ali goes up. Oh my, that is sensational. Straight back up, an opportunity to get the ball moving at Chouil. And there's the foul that's been committed. And because... Oh no, they've got three fouls. It's not five, so... Anyway.
Well, what a fantastic defensive sequence. Whichever way you look at it, it was... Skillful work from Papi Jackson as we look at the up-top play between him and Deng. And it's been fantastic play here at Hasan Mustafa Sports Arena.
Basketball Africa League coverage here on the Voice of America. We are in Season 4. We're watching the game currently in Cairo for the Nile Conference. Libya, Al Ahly Libya playing against Al Ahly Egypt, a storied franchise that has actually been, you know, been around for quite a time. Both teams starting off the second half, you know, shooting from both ends, and Libya taking the lead from Egypt. Egypt also kind of, you know, pulling in the crowd. It's home court advantage for them, so. You know, you don't want to lose in front of your home court, right, Paul? You don't want to lose at home, especially to a debuting team.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but I'm proud of Libya. They came out,
yeah,
and took it to them. You know, down low they're feeding they're feeding Achul. Mm. You know, so it's going well for them. Yeah. And they need to stick to that.
Absolutely.
You know?
54-52, Al Ahly Libya leading there in the North African, we'll call it a North African clash.
Yeah.
Between Al Ahly Libya versus Al Ahly Egypt, 52 points. Early on, the Egyptians were leading the race, but now it looks like the Libyans are coming out.
The tables are turned.
What a clash. What a clash.
And honestly, gentlemen, that is what great basketball is
this
about.
This is what the ball is supposed to be.
Yes, we want to see that, where that one team that you thought was the dominant team
comes out and is different.
Yeah. And, you know, so both are challenging, both going for the basket, both of them shooting, doing the basic fundamentals to win this game. And for both of them, this is a statement win.
I mean, more than anything, what I will say is Al Ahly Egypt obviously standing the test of time as a predominantly Egyptian team with Egyptian structures, etc. What I'm hoping is Al Ahly Libya's performance in this conference is something that can trickle down to local
sports.
Absolutely,
absolutely. Let's go back to Cairo. There's a good chance. Line
still on the floor. Made safe by Murphy at the back.
Controlling the defensive glass well, Al Ahly Libya, they have been pretty good in that aspect of the game.
Oh, he's gone again, and no one will stop him. And he's now up to 22, beating his score from yesterday.
That was masterful. Again, a good read as he gets into the space to finish with that right-hand layup.
Al Ahly, Cairo on the 5 team fouls. Oh, that's a wonderful drive, isn't it? Sensational stuff there from Lyons, up to 6 points there, despite the 4 fouls that he has.
Nice work from Lyons. He tried to take advantage of his matchup on Jackson, and he gets right by him.
His long-range shot, not the best in that we've seen today. So Junior's been outrageously good. Nice work from Deng. Oh, there's the... Well, he gets knocked off his feet. I think he might pick up a... No, I'm not too sure about that, because the pass is already gone. He just fell over as he snaked behind Mitchell Jr. Wild pass there, Q. not the right time to make that mistake.
The idea was right. The execution of the pass didn't quite go the way he intended. And that's what happens. The results in turnovers. Well, after that turnover, Deng is going to go to the bench, and Diabate, he's going to come right back in.
There he goes. Got his eyes locked on a certain Diab Amin, knowing that he's got to keep tabs on one of their star players, but littered with quality. Lions goes up. That's a big, big bucket.
Lions up on three. They went 4-for-7 in the opening account, and he knocks down one, an important one, to give Al Ahly the lead.
Yeah, by one. An important one for a one. Murphy. Pappy goes up. Pappy for a mid-range two. Nicely done. Again, the lead changes.
Just absolutely unstoppable right now, Pierre Pappy Jackson.
From Tennessee. Well, they make songs down there like it's going out of fashion at the moment. He is on song himself. Perfect performance here. But it will matter if the victory goes their way. Now, Lions goes down and he tries to get around Atchouil. And Atchouil trying to stake his claim that it wasn't at fault there.
But he's unhappy because the call now puts him on four fouls. And that's getting into Atchouil's space, just trying to create the separation. And that call, a tough one, trying to chase down Lions. Lions looks like he's the one that creates the contact. And Atchouil, well, he gets the call.
Well, the call's been made. And Kenneth Gardner of the United States of America is the man who is running the show here. We're level again, Q. 2:48 left in the third period. And to be honest with you, I don't know where this is going to go. I really don't. We've seen many teams in the past just, you know, lose their thread of vital times in the fourth quarter. Oh, Lions! Lay it down, lay the marker, Mr. Lions, because that was a rasping, beautiful score from way downtown, and the three-point lead has been made.
And now he leads the scoring for Al Ahly Egypt up to 13 points, and he's just come alive in the third quarter despite his four fouls.
Well, very lucky to be able to pick this up. Oh, there's Murphy trying to go up for that, tries to drop it over the top. Doesn't fall, picked up by Lions. Lions is off again. And that's logically going to be Al Ahly Libya who pick up possession.
Lions trying to be a little bit too casual, trying to go between the legs. And you look at the anticipation from Pappy Jackson. He gets a touch on it, and it makes it difficult for Mitchell to control, and it spills out of bounds. That's what defense does. It changes momentum inside a big game and inside an arena like this.
And Mitchell Jr. a little bit frustrated there as he walks off talking with Lions. They need to, you know, just keep a lid on that pressure cooker situation and just focus on what they can do. Ivan Djermic is called the timeout as Al Ahly Libya trail by 3, 2:12 left in the third. You know, this has been high-quality basketball coming from Africa. And I hope wherever you're watching around the world, and we know that you're watching in all pockets of this beautiful globe where we live, I can tell you that this has been a great encounter between these two teams from North Africa. A bit of a derby taking place here. The defending champions from Egypt and Al Ahly of Libya. And, you know, great advert for African basketball.
What we are seeing is high-quality basketball from both of these franchises, and you know they have legacy and story on the continent. But let's look quickly. Lions has accumulated 13 points on 5 of 8 shots, 2 rebounds and an assist. Pierre Deshawn Pappy Jackson, 13 shots for his 24 points, has led the way for Al Ahly Libya. Atchouil has come on in with 14 points and 7, and Kevin Murphy has quietly, and I put that in inverted commas, quietly accumulated 10 points and 7 boards. Has struggled just a little bit from the field and 3 of 12 shooting.
And so much to play for now. Of course, the team that manages to win out here today will find themselves sitting on the top of the table in the Nile Conference with four more games to play each. Here we go, ball coming out. Dang doesn't make the right pass. It's been, you can't do that. Prince Ali goes up. Happy.
No foul ball. Clean. Clean. It's just brilliant, isn't it?
Snake hands.
Sharp hands.
Cobra hands.
Just good hands.
Good hands. Fast hands. Gendy comes back on. Arabi's back on as well. Amen. And Mitchell Jr. So Lyons heads to the bench once again. It goes up. That's a big long. Oh, bring it on. Amen. With a masterful, high, sensational big three.
He's got a trademark celebration every time he hits a big shot. The two outstretched threes in both on both hands, and he makes that shot count.
Wow. Murphy. 6-point lead. This has been a big lead. Yeah, that's one of the biggest leads that they've actually had, I think, if not the biggest. Alali. Prince Ali goes up. This is what we're talking about. This ever dangerous Alali team goes up again. Second chance goes in, and there is an 8-point lead with just over 1 minute remaining in the third.
That is the biggest lead of the game so far.
Second chance points 14 to 12. 14 for the Egyptians. Prince Ali a bit frustrated that he didn't manage to snatch that ball away from Papi down that left side over on the just in front of the table. He gets it back.
Well, this could be the significant scoring run of the game, and important that Alali Libya try and break it as soon as possible.
And Deng unable to get his shot. It comes back off the metal, made safe with Emin at the back, just calming things down. They know that there's like 40 seconds remaining in this third. Ball comes back out. Arabi, you won't stop him there. Nice little twist and turn before Blaney rises up and gets his goods.
He struggled to keep control of the basketball, cutting to the lane. It almost looked like he got away with the treble, but it counts, and the lead is now 10 points.
Nearly a 10-second differential here as Deng picks the ball up, tries to get the ball back. Oh, stay out of there, Mitchell Jr. That is just naughty. Oh, my word. Papi just getting in the way of Prince Ali, but I think there was contact on this occasion.
Yeah, they definitely pulled the contact on this occasion. And you look at the work from Lyons. It's been all him in the third quarter. Superb timing. And he allows the run out on the opposite end. And just look at that work there. Lyons, amazing on the defensive end.
Up to the free throw line. Prince Ali is the man. Both teams on. Not that it matters because we've got 9 seconds left. But Prince Ali missing the first. They've got a 10-point lead. That is just such a quick turnaround. We talked about, you know, how, you know, the moment that they sink their teeth into their prey, the venom goes everywhere. And it is so quick, the reaction. That's exactly where they are. They have just, you know, got themselves into that very comfortable position where they got an 11-point lead at the end of the third.
Timely scoring run, and I say it could be the most important one.
Diabate trying to weave between players. And that's the end of the third quarter. And look at that, all of a sudden we understand why Alali of Egypt are the defending champions. They have basically just underlined what they're capable of doing, moving 11 points ahead at the end of the third quarter, going into the final quarter ahead of Alali Libya. We'll take a small break and we'll be back for the fourth.
On the Voice of America, my name is Jackson Bunganyi. We are watching Alali Egypt and versus Alali Libya. Egypt has been able to pull away in this third quarter. The defending champions are showing why they are the defending champions. You know, in terms of chemistry, the team really shows that they play together much more often than, say, Libya, which is a debutant team, just put together a couple of guys who play basketball, you know, hoping that they will win the game. But again, when the rubber hits the road, that's when you see the differences. Here, if you're just joining us, I'm Jackson Bunganyi. I'm with Mike Hove and my guy Paul Ofono joining us here in studio.
Yes,
check out at voaafrica.com. Our website is always populated with content related to Basketball Africa League coverage. You can also listen to our podcasts that we produce at least once a week. Mike, things are looking a little tough for Libya. It's 58 for Libya, 69 for El Ahly. The biggest margin so far, end of the third quarter. I don't know, coming into the fourth quarter, what they need to do to make up that difference and hopefully, you know, beat the defending champions.
Well, the defending champions are now showing why they're the defending champions, right? They know how to turn it up, how to turn it off. It looks like everything's looking good. Of course, Al Ahly Libya is still heavily reliant on Pierre de Frolijk. He's got 24
points. What we've just seen is just a masterclass in how to just take full advantage of
14 points. Kevin Marquise Murphy, 10 points. He's still their leading rebounder. But of course, Al Ahly Egypt, they're switching it up. Mark Steven Leon, 13 points. He's now their leading point scorer. Looks like it's almost time to go back to Cairo. Let's head back to Egypt.
Diabate has the ball in his hands. The former Al Ahly player who won his second BAL last season. Orabi gives it to Ali. Prince Ali dunks the ball for Al Ahly, who move even further ahead.
Taking away offensive opportunities. It's a block shot that leads to another run out, and Ali with the highlight play.
I don't want to say they're deflated, but they've been hurt here. All of that hard work to put themselves in a good position has just collapsed as Al Ahly try and build a new dynasty here on sacred Egyptian soil. That's a good turn, but you can't get a shot over the top there, Dang.
They've just upped the ante and the pressure, and it's paid dividends as the scoring run continues to build for the defending champions.
Gizawi to El Gendi, trying to turn around, find some space. Princelli picks it up. He goes, Mitchell Jr. Oh my, Mitchell Jr. with such an incredible shot there from way out wide.
Well, he just looked up, had a look at the shot clock, and knew that he was taking that shot.
Great strength there to score a pair of points there from El Maghribi.
And finally bring the scoring run to an end. It's a 14-point lead that they've got to try and climb into here in the fourth quarter.
Prince Ali getting the ball to El Rabi. And it looks like there's been some contact as El Rabi tried to weave.
And a little bit of a shimmy shake on the make. Is that man, Mitchell Jr., knocks down an important shot. And Al Ahly Egypt firmly in control.
Mitchell Jr., fantastic score there. Don't understand why he celebrates. Prince Ali. Gardner back on the floor. Shot clock down to 7. Gendi, watch out for Gendi. Gendi. Floats one over the top, tries to get the rebound, and he does indeed. Arabi there to just tidy up.
A complete momentum shift here in the last 4 or 5 minutes. Papi Jackson gets an easy two, but we've seen Al Ahly Egypt really establish their dominance on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, no, very impressive indeed, and you know, they are just seizing control here. And this is the Al Ahly. Oh my word, Al Ghazawi. It just opened up. That was like, it was like the boulevard in Karnak. Wow.
Sweeps low and gets the layup right through the defense.
And Arabi frustrated that he doesn't get possession from that pass that landed in the zone. Coach Jubei masterminding this very quick and very slick operation here. Good score there for Murphy. Murphy up to 12 points now.
They might still have a run left in them, Al Ahly Libya, but they've got to try and see if they can get it going as soon as possible.
Gizawi. Prince Ali picks it up. Looking for the big man. A little slip. Gendi picks it up and helps him out. A little bit of assistance coming from El Gendi. Shot clock down to 4 seconds. Well, on this occasion, a rare occasion, he doesn't manage to sink the and get the bucket. Deng for a three-pointer. Comes back out. Zawi. Quite happy about this, aren't they? Just slowing things down. It's a 14-point lead, so it's been cut down a little bit. Orabi. Gardner doesn't get his three-pointer from out wide, picked up by Papi. This could be an opportunity. An opportunity to just pick up possession down into the corner. Murphy for three. Murphy gets a big three-pointer.
There was a hand on the pass that came out to Papi Jackson, to Diabate, who then found wide open Murphy in the corner, and now they've stolen away possession.
Papi shooting a three, but no, the whistle had been blown. But just look at this. What are they calling, jump ball? No.
Gardner Jackson tied up.
And then look at this shot. Look at it. Well, we're not going to see it, but he's turning around and he hits the big three-pointer from the other side of the country. 67-78. Six left. 6:15. Anything's possible. Orabi. Dan getting in the way. Nicely done. But a foul has been committed. And I think it was a... He might be in a bit of trouble, Orabi. There's a push in the back.
And Coach Jeremic is looking for the unsportsmanlike call. As Orabi hassled for the ball and then, yeah.
Oh, there's a bit of contact in the face. So when he swiped his arm out of frustration. With this, we'll go to an official review here, guaranteed.
I don't think it's going to be good news for Orabi if the officials get a second look at that incident.
Well, I think it's going to happen. You can see that as Deng goes up. And it's being dealt with by Kenneth Gardner and the officials. They're just saying, stay away. Let's go and see the official review. And we'll start from, you know, we'll see what we can see from the replay. You know, let's be sensible at this. And Deng's going back. But it looked like there is a little swipe. We don't like swipes because after the ball's, you know, gone away.
Well, no question. It looked highly intentional from Orabi. And I think it's going to translate. We will likely see this scaled up. It's all a question of intent, and based on what we've seen, not the referees. I think we'll wait and see how they interpret what we saw visually happen.
Yeah, Rwanda's Jean Sauveur, Ramariza, and Damir Tabubi of Tunisia, along with Kenneth Gardner, United States of America. His first game, he's got a lot on his plate, of course, you know, but you know.
This is a big-time fixture.
It's a big-time showdown between two big teams. Look at the replay, of course, to understand if there was premeditation, if the extent of the contact, all of these elements will be looked at. We get to see the replay here. Now, look at that.
That... Ladies and gentlemen, makes it interesting. That's what it does.
You know, the ball actually kind of hides in at the moment of contact. Looks like he's already made his decision.
And now let's welcome Egyptian TV Sports presenter.
And there he is, Majok Deng of South Sudan. Wasn't happy with the contact. He made it very clear. Now let's see what decision they come up with. Seen the replay.
You look at the contact there on the hook shot. That's the moment right there.
You know, he's got a lot of wingspan, isn't he, Orabi? The arms are going up.
Big 217 is what he stands on the floor. And his arms are going to be above most that he comes up against. And that is an ejection.
It's a big call. Kenneth Gardner. But anything. anything that looks really dangerous and there's contact with the head, you don't want it in the game. The elbow is up, and it looks like it's going to be the case, but let's get the final word.
After a little ball.
Yep, it's confirmed that there's going to be an ejection for Omar Orabi.
Well, listen, you know, technical foul. The elbow went up, the contact was made. It was pretty clear, you know. The referees are doing a fine job because they've got to break it down. They're only doing their job. I think that that's the right call.
Referees got to make the tough call, the correct call. And if you look at it on replay and you look at intent, it's very clear. And the interpretation?
Impeccable.
Impeccable.
And it's a big call. Congratulations, because that is not easy. Kenneth Gardner and his crew. Just, making the call. There's no complaints. You can't complain about it. It is what it is.
The technical foul was called on Deng, who went across to try and create the altercation after the anger from the moment. And that's
why we got,
that's why we got the shot on that side.
Exactly. There he goes, the big man, Omar Orabi. Obviously a little bit frustrating for him, but it's frustrating losing the ball in those situations. So now that we have the 1 point, Deng goes straight up to the free throw line.
He'll shoot two and keep possession for Al Ahly Libya. And this is a moment that can switch the momentum in the game. Everything has changed, the entire landscape, based on the stoppage, the amount of time the game will be played, and what we saw happen on the floor.
Yeah, but it's the biggest player in this Al Ahly team. He's their go-to man in the paint when it comes to, you know, any kind of, you know, movement when you're going in the inside. So it obviously will affect, you know, their game plan. Now we'll have to see how Coach Chulbe, you know, manoeuvres himself and gets his tactics, because great coaches are able to adjust around this. Still got a 9-point lead, and there's still plenty of time for any one of these two teams to actually win this. Ball comes back out. Deng, let's see if he can get rid of Mitchell Jr. That's nicely done. Well, he's obviously, moved away from what he's actually, you know, what happened earlier, and he's straight into the zone.
Statement of intent by Deng, attacking the rim hard. 9 points now.
And Lyons comes back on for fouls and produces something like that. That is just outrageous from Lyons.
And on the defensive end, Lyons taps away on the intended pass to Deng, and it's Alan Yeager back on the other side.
Gardner getting a pair of points there as well. That's just remarkable, isn't it? All of a sudden, you thought that things would turn. They're not turning at all. They're going straight towards the Red Devils, Al Ahly of Egypt.
Lyons might not have read the script, and he comes in and up to 17 points now.
That's a big, big bucket that is from Murphy. 3 points for him, and he's now up to 18.
There will continue the fight. There's still a lot of time left, and important that the executions happen for both teams on the offensive end.
El Gendi. Pappy's trying to wrestle the ball out of his hands. Gets the ball back. Nicely done. Good opportunity. Shot doesn't fall there for Gardner. And there's a player down. I'm just trying to understand if what kind of contact there was. Mitchell Jr., I think it is.
Here we try and have another look as Mitchell just... Oh, he spills to the ground hard. Goes almost lateral to the floor.
There's nothing there, though. It was literally a 50-50 ball, wasn't it, up in the air, and they both went for it. I don't think it was in contact. And you can see Ivan Jeremic saying, no, there was nothing in there. It was the awkward fall.
Well, the players are smart, and they're going to try and exploit the opportunity every chance they get, and there's a timeout now called. Well, it really is all happening here. You ask for drama, that's what you get when you get two of the top teams in the NAL Conference going at it. And it can still go completely either way, Robbie.
We're going to take a small break. We will be back. Drama here in Cairo. It will continue after this small break.
You're listening to the Basketball Africa League special coverage here on The Voice of America. We are watching the game that is happening in Cairo, the Nile Conference, Libya against Egypt. Both of them are El Ahly teams. It's what's the 79, yeah.
84 to Al Ahly 73.
84-73. There seems to be like a switch of momentum back and forth. Libya is, you know, in the beginning, we thought this going to be a close game, but El Ahly has been able to show the kind of depth they have and experience that sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah, man. Look, Al Ahly Egypt once again. I thought that ejection for Omar was definitely going to be something that was going to turn the tide for the Libyans. But for whatever reason, man, that still didn't work out. The Egyptians still once again came out looking nice. Mm. Once again, makes sense why they're 84-73. All I know is this game is hitting a hundo, baby.
Paul, you think, do you see that happening? 100?
I'm thinking maybe 90, 90, 90. 97, 98, you know?
Remember that I called it in the beginning.
You did.
But, Paul, what are some of the things you're seeing right now in terms of how Egypt is executing on the court? Why were they able to pull away from Libya?
I mean, you just saw it. You know, we had a flagrant foul. Mm. You know, he got ejected, Omar. Mm. And guess what? The guy filled in for him.
Still playing ball.
Know? So the rotation has been great. Yeah. You know, Al Ahly, you know, Libya is, there's fatigue. You know, there's fatigue. They kind of got, you know, the wind and got a rest, you know, while the rest were going through all
drama,
that.
Drama,
so they were able to come
like
and do a little bit of something. But
Cairo,
again, you know, same guys on the court.
Absolutely.
You know, same, you know, so no rotation.
Remember,
fatigue is kicking.
Egypt has a two-time BAL champion for a coach, Augustin Jobe Bosch.
Yeah.
And he's, I think he's trying to take his boys all the way to Kigali from the Nile Conference.
I think
let's
going.
Go back to Cairo.
But there's an 11-point lead, 84-73. Mitchell Jr., bring it on.
Well, they continue to make important shots. And whenever the moment is called for, they are ready to deliver. And it's been Lyons, it's been Mitchell Jr. They're just able to make big-time shots from the three-point line.
Murphy just using the body of his to maneuver around. But some really good defensive play there from the 19-year-old Ghezawi, stopping him from getting his perfect shot in. His Lyons has been outrageously good. Gardner goes right through the middle. Beautiful layup, just replacing that man, Arabi.
Yeah, he's also been outrageously good. Gardner has picked his pockets and 4 points here in the second half. Forced to come in now and is producing.
Papi in possession. Here's Deng. Deng goes right through. Oh, he just goes a little bit too far underneath. Backboard picked up by Gendy. They go again. Mitchell Jr. out wide. There's a chance for Lyons. Lyons again. Surely not. Oh, what is going on? Lyons is literally ripping it up.
And Lyons on their make. That is the 11th three-pointer for Al Ahly. Has a little look over at the Al Ahly Libya bench. And that's just confidence. It's the confidence to make the shot. But yes, also just has a little look back. A little something to say to his opponents.
20 points for Lyons. Look at that. Wow. Super impressive, right?
Well, he's had a superb second half, Lyons, and he's showcased some sharp shooting from beyond the arc. Under pressure, no doubt, but Al Ahly, from about the 15-minute mark, have showcased why they are defending champions. When the pressure was highest, they came up with defensive plays that they were able to convert into opportunities in transition, and also making big-time shots in the half-court set from a variety of players, and it's seen them extend the lead. It is now 19 big points and 3:21 left, it's going to be tough going for Al Ahly Libya to try and get back in this one.
The big teams, despite getting injured, still stand tall.
Whatever adversity is thrown at them, they're able to make the adjustments despite whatever the difficulty looks like. And Pierre Papi Jackson gotten a little bit cold, 9 of 15. He still leads all scorers with 26 points. Lions, 7 of 11 from the field. And for his 20, he's also given up 3 assists. Mitchell Jr., Gardner, and Ali, the players in double digits when it comes to the scoring part for the defending champions.
And, you know, the crazy thing is Lions, who's leading the way for Al Ahly Egypt. You know, he's been on 4 fouls for literally the last 15 minutes of of live action, which is just outrageous. So this goes to show, it's just, they're incredible, aren't they? Al Ahly. Diabate, the Ivorian. Oh my word, Gendy getting in the way and just blocking and stopping and preventing him from lighting up this Cairo court. So Junior. Zawi El Gendy picks it up. Gardner's there if he needs him. Shot clock down to 6. Need to try and do something. El Gendy. 3 seconds to float one over the top, and he does it!
That floater is unstoppable. He is so skilled at making that shot from just about anywhere.
Put it in, and that's a perfect pass into the hands of Achuel of South Sudan, who makes sure that those points are safe.
4 fouls for Achuel. Trying to contribute down the stretch here.
Lions, all a lovely little touch, but it doesn't make it. A second attempt for Gardner. Gardner really digging up some fantastic play here today.
I see what you did there, but fantastic work from Gardner on the inside.
Another chance for pair of points from Achuel. Doesn't happen. Goes out wide. Lions for 3. Gardner. Eager to try and get the ball, but doesn't manage to get the rebound. 1:49 left and 21 points the difference. How did that happen?
Masterful scoring, and now the home fans starting to go into a little bit of song.
Diabate, and into the hands. Achuel, nicely done. Wonderful pass there, just a sneaky one into the hands of the ever dangerous Murphy. Murphy up to 20 points now. Second player to hit 20. Oh, Papi Jackson, 1:30 left on the clock. Lions, what's he going to do now? Gardner, are they able to take that pass? Picked up by Diabate. Diabate's got Murphy there. He'll go alone and puts the 2 on the board.
They'll try and make inroads because point differential does play a part in the way that positions are determined. So they'll play until the last second.
Papi back in possession. Papi Jackson. Diabate puts it up for the alley-oop. No alley-oop there for Murphy, but a lovely little... I'll take that, bide my time, and then drop it over the chops as I get rid of the big boys.
22 for Murphy.
El Gendy. Tries to sneak past Diabate. A little bit of a court press taking place here. But he still managed to get space free, and it comes out. Mitchell Jr. for a big 3. Doesn't happen. Made safe, picked up by Diabate. More points coming potentially for Al Ahly Libya. It's nicely done by Diabate, but he hasn't managed to. Ball just comes out of his hands. Little touch there from Gardner to prevent him from going on his way. Super dangerous, isn't he, Diabate? Low scoring today, though. That's real. Easy 2.
Right now, looking to try and get the score up to about 100 if they can break the century mark. Al Ahly Egypt, they, in their opening encounter, were 15 of 38 from the 3-point line. They do have the ability to hit high volume 3-point shots at a good percentage, and we saw a lot of that in this game as well.
Do you know what I've there's something that I've been missing from this Al Ahly Libyan team, the physicality. Expect them, they could be a little bit more physical. They might get a, you know, they might be able to just rattle their opponents a little bit more, because it's, you know, they haven't really got themselves in, you know, in the faces of their opponents today.
Well, I think this was a measuring stick of sorts, and that's why, you know, the home and away format helps benefit all the teams that are part of this. In here's gone past, it's one and done, and then you move on to the playoffs. Now you get a second bite at the cherry, you get a chance to go back to the drawing board, make some adjustments, look at matchups and lineups, and then also increase the physicality quotient is what the call is from you, Robbie.
No, it's it'll come, because I think the coaches will recognize that when they look at the replays and understand that, you know, when you come up against a team like Al Ahly, you know, they've let this lead, you know, they've let this game go. There you go, that's not looking good for Murphy, is it? You know, I think that he'd already accelerated past him. It will be a foul. I don't think it's anything more than that. But just want to, you know, add that extra element that can frustrate your opponents. And, it, you know, you have to look at the caliber and the pedigree of Al Ahly and who they are, I suppose, at the same time.
The ability to adapt, and Al Ahly Egypt has shown they will up the physicality course, they'll move inside, they can play big ball, they can play and shoot the ball well from the outside, and they just have a lot of versatility on their roster.
Lovely, nice pass, but he couldn't finish it off. Gizawi, Paul Bina, oh, look at the wonderful work for the racing back to try and get hold of the ball once again.
But trying to make up for the miss, trying to pick up that steal, just couldn't hold it, and the ball gets tapped out, and a little bit of frustration for young Gizawi.
He's got a lot of good time on court today, Coach Stolbey, and just investing in the youngster.
Well, he's earned his minutes. He's shown the effort and the skill to keep and hold the point guard position, which is a really difficult thing to do at his age.
Look at that from Murphy. Marvellous Murphy. Providing us with he's the lawmaker again, isn't he?
Skillful.
Into the last 10 seconds, Lyons surely not. He's going on a bit of a move. And Papi will pick up another foul. And it's just going to be Al Ahly will pick up possession on the sideline. Mitchell Jr. And Gendy finishes it off. 98 points. Can't get the 100. But that's still a solid performance, that is. 98 points to 86. And Al Ahly really showing us what they're capable of doing. And just waiting to wait. The official review will tell us if there's less than a second left on the clock.
Well, I think it's all done and dusted. But we'll wait for the officials to confirm that it is. And it is a credit to the defending champions on their home floor here, coming away with the win. And at the half, it was a 3-point game. They extended the game out up to as much of the lead as 20 points. And
then we have a timeout that's called by Ivan Jermic. We're just trying to understand. There's 2 seconds left on the clock, I think. No, 0.2 seconds. I'm just trying to understand. They're just...
2 seconds.
No, we'll just wait a second. Wait 2 seconds. No, wait 1 second or 2 seconds. 0.2 of a second. I think wait...
We're just going to...
We're going to wait for the referees to sort it all out. Well, I think, in any case, you can just see that Coach Tulbing knows what he's achieved here. And what he has achieved is it's a big statement, isn't it? That run of points was just pretty impressive.
Second half performance was really impressive by Al Ahly Egypt as they were able to extend a 3-point gap and turn it into as big a lead as 20 points, and they deservedly come away with the win. ...25 points for Murphy, 26 for Pierre Papi Jackson Achuel, 18 points. 0.7 seconds left.
There we go. He's just got to wrap it up, haven't you? It's as simple as that.
They're going to look to try and get a quick score.
And why not? There it is. There's the shot from Pappy, but it doesn't fall. Well, it's all done and dusted here in Cairo. Bit of drama. Some interesting battling. A handshake between the two coaches, Jeremic and Coach Julby. But Al Ahly make it 2-2. Al Ahly, Egypt, that is. Al Ahly, Libya. Well, they don't manage to claw themselves back and cause an upset by beating the defending champions. But they did put in a really good shift tonight and rattled the giants of Egypt. But it just fell short at the end of the day and found themselves just lacking that extra little bit of zest at that key moment.
The game of runs, and that scoring run, 17 unanswered points, is where Al Ahly were able to pull away and create significant gap that Al Ahly Libya were unable to overcome. And at the end of the day, Lions 20 points, 12 points for Ali, 15 for Mitchell Jr. and Gardner, one of the four players in double digits, is how they combined to unlock the win for the defending champions.
And we're going to get a reaction from Tony Mitchell Jr. Following this victory for Al Ahly.
At halftime, what was the difference second half?
We believed in ourselves like we always do. As long as we come out and play together like we always been doing, work hard on defense, we can beat anybody, but we always do it together.
So yesterday, El Gendi was important. Gardner had a great game coming off the bench. What is the impact of your bench during those type of games?
When anybody gets in the game off our bench, they're going to come in and they can contribute. And that's what you need with good teams. Anybody to come in and do their role and play, just play. We got to thank Coach for the game plan. We stayed solid, we stayed with it, and we got the win.
Let me ask you, let's go beyond your number. We've seen you pushing the ball, shooting three-point shots, playing defense. How do you define your game?
I just like to play basketball. Whatever my team needs me to do, I'm going to do it. So whatever coach needs me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever my team needs me to do, I'm going to do it. I believe in these guys, these guys believe in me.
Thank you so much, and congratulations one more time. Thank you.
Well, there is Tony Mitchell Jr. putting in a really good shift. But when we look at the team, the game stats here, Lions with those four fouls still managed to stay on. He top scored, for crying out loud, despite sitting on those four fouls going into the last 15.
It's the efficiency, the 7 of 12 shooting, and Gardner 7 of 11 for Anders 5 rebounds. Pierre Papi Jackson, 26 points, a 9 of 17 shooting. They upped the ante just a little bit defensively and took him out of his rhythm. Kevin Murphy with 9 of 20 for his 25 points. And it was Atuel's 18. And the three players who tried, in terms of the scoring quotient for this Al Ahly Libyan team, to get themselves the W, but fell short on the day.
Yeah, look at, I mean, there's not that much in there, is it? You know, when you actually look at, you know, at the stats at the end of the day, very close. The three-point scenario, a little bit, 12 from 32, 7 from 21, but otherwise, you know, quite well matched. It was just that run of points where they took them away.
And I mean, those 5 3-point makes count to the 12 points that you see, the differential, the ability to knock down shots, the versatility. But so more importantly, the team synergy, and it comes through in that interview from Tony Mitchell Jr. They understand what it takes to unlock a championship. It's team basketball on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, and the coach's tactics, of course. Coach Julbe knows what he's doing. Well, there's Orabi, who got ejected from the court. But, you know, it didn't get in the way too much of the Al Ahly performance. Victories for Bangui, their first victory here in the Nile Conference. City Oil is still seeking their first. They get the chance to go up against Al Ahly of Libya for their first win the day after tomorrow. Of course, it's a rest day tomorrow, and then Bangui up against Al Ahly of Egypt for that final clash on Monday night at 8 p.m. looking forward to that. Thank you so much for watching. We hope that you've been thrilled with everything that's happened out here today, because it's been fascinating. Q, thanks to you. It really has been interesting. Great day of basketball here on the BAL Season 4.
First round action.
Basketball Africa League live coverage of the fourth season Nile Conference. Guys, we just watched a great game between Al Ahly of Egypt, the defending champions, versus El Ahly of Libya. When we started this game about 3 hours ago, I remember I forecasted that we were going to have...
you thought David would take Goliath. Boy, was it a lie.
But it came down to 86 for Libya, 98. El Ahly showing the different team, a different pedigree of players. A storied franchise that has been around for quite a minute. And that's why they are the defending champions, guys. You know, the biggest issue for me that I saw with Libya, the biggest mistake in terms of coaching, again, it's tough to go against Coach Augustin Jobe, who is a two-time Baal champion. Mm-hmm. But Libya, their biggest problem was that they are relying on just one
rotation.
Guy, you know, Pierre Jackson. And when he's not making the shots, then everybody else is really not coming in to kind of fill in that gap.
But I asked Paul the same question. I'm like, how do you pull him off when he's hot?
Right, exactly.
Well, you're not pulling him off for, you know, for a long time. I mean, you know, just a quick breather. And also it's something that gives calm to the team. And your fellow teammates are on the bench.
They need to get that game
time. They need to feel part of the team.
Right.
You know, so... You know, having that, I mean, what harm would it have done for the backup point guard to come in and just play for a minute and a half? He might have had a point to prove and lights you up with 10, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's having trust in the players that are behind these stars that you have. You
absolutely.
Know?
Mark Lyons, who played for the NCAA Division I for the University of Arizona, came out on top for El Ahly. Again, El Ahly has a depth in roster. Yeah. We know if when they brought in their bench was still performing well. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot to work with. Mike, what do we have? We do have an interview.
Do have a couple of interviews in the tuck. Speaking of the Kalahari Conference, of course, we now in the Nile Conference, but we are covering everything BAL related. We had our intern, Omolemo Kale, got in touch with one of the Cape Town Tigers players. Now, we all know the story of the Cape Town Tigers, all heavily reliant on maybe making it to Rwanda as a third best place team. They throughout their campaign, they only had one victory to their name, and that was against Petro de Luanda. People were hoping that they could win. I personally am one of those people because of my South African background.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna lie. You know, in their last game, we were hoping that they'd emerge victorious and have a good trail into Rwanda. But
especially, you know, that they were playing at home.
Especially based on the way that they played and the fact that they were playing at home. But once again, that did not happen. So everybody's watching what happens out as the rest of the conferences play out. But speaking of, as I said earlier on, our intern, Omolemo Kale, got to speak to one of the Cape Town Tigers players, Lebesa Selepe. He's a two-time Cape Town Tigers player. This is his second conference. He's a veteran, 32 years old. Let's hear what the conversation, you know, part of the conversation, then we'll come back and chat it.
Wow. Okay, so I'm Lebesa Selepe. I'm from Soweto, born and raised. What I currently do, I play professional basketball for a team called Cape Town Tigers. We participate in the Basketball Africa League. And as well as in South Africa, we play in the Basketball National League. And the bridge between the Basketball National League and the Basketball Africa League is a tournament called Road to BAL. And that's where we spend most of our time, either preparing for the National League or preparing for the Africa League.
How did you get into the BAL? Was it through maybe high school, college, maybe an academy or something of that nature? How did you get in?
So, I mean, I've always played basketball since high school, right? And it wasn't something that I'm going to do as a profession because in South Africa, there wasn't that avenue of professional basketball until Cape Town Tigers came along. So, I mean, I went through high school, played basketball there, went to university, played basketball in varsity, and I qualified as a cost and management accountant. That's the degree that I got. And I worked as an accountant for 6 years. And when Cape Town Tigers started, I was going through turmoil in my professional career. I was on the verge of getting fired. And fortunately, Cape Town Tigers came knocking at my door and asked if I would be willing to help them out, which I was. I mean, I grasped that opportunity with both hands. And here we are, you know. It's not like in America where you have to go through a draft and, you know, it worked out quite differently for me. It was just a phone call, basically. and an offer to just participate and help them qualify for the BAL. This was in 2021, going into the 22 season. So, I mean, I grasped that opportunity with both hands because basketball is something that I always did. And the opportunity to do it professionally was something that I would not bypass because fortunately for me, I was 30 years old at the time and I could still play. So here we are.
The way you got picked up was more almost like you almost got like recruited, yes? Or did you maybe like try out in a combine and then your name was just in their files and then they looked for you and then they just went to you and called you up? Or was it just like it was as random as it seemed?
I mean, it was exactly like that. I didn't go to no combine. I got called up to a practice session that they were having in Pretoria, preparing for the road to BAL. So I went to the practice session. I had a very good session. And fortunately for me, the market of basketball in South Africa is very small. So people are going to know who you are. And at that time, I was a competitor. I was an opponent of Cape Town Tigers. So I think my name was on their radar. They knew that to bulk up the squad, they'd need a few more senior players. And the senior players that they had at the time were guys that I'd played with in the national team. Peter Prinsloo, Lekgono Lotolo, Chris Gabriel, you know, was with the team at the time. So it was easy for me to adjust and to play for Cape Town Tigers. And I mean, speaking of BP, he's been there since I started. You know, he may have left the team, but he's been there since I started. He's a phenomenal player, very skilled. It's unfortunate that he's not in the NBA because that's what his skill set is. You know, he really is that good. I hope he can somehow get back into the league because a guy with that skill set at that height. I saw on Instagram the other day, somebody said that he's a 6'10" guard. Because that's what he is, you know. He dribbles just like guards. He's got the size of a big. He shoots from outside. I love playing with him. I love watching him grow. I love who he is as a player.
Puma came up with a hashtag, right? Mm-hmm. This hashtag, not just in BAL, but in multiple almost in all of their sporting partnerships that they branch out to. Please remind me what the hashtag is and if there is any significance in what that hashtag even means.
So shout out to Puma, man. You know, Puma has been in my side of the court for a very long time. I started wearing Pumas 3 seasons ago. The deal just became pen to paper. It used to be just merchandise, comfort, lifestyle wear. It's been a nice journey with them, and I really pray to God and hope that we can carry on for the longest time, because I'm comfortable with the brand. I associate with the brand, and I mean the hashtag is Forever Faster, right? And it's just exactly that. It's trying to remain relevant and faster through every sporting code that you do, faster on the court, faster on the track, faster for the soccer players, you know, faster for the golfers. It's brilliant, right? There's a campaign, which is a global campaign, which every Puma athlete on the globe jumped on. You know, I'm talking from Neymar, Harry Maguire, Jack Grealish, myself. We all jumped on the global campaign where we had those Puma eyes, and it's basically seeing the game the way a Puma athlete sees the game, which is exactly that, Forever Faster.
Were you the first or maybe one of the first athletes in the BAL to be sponsored officially by Puma or something of that nature?
Well, I think on this continent, Nkosinathi Sibanyoni and I are the first ever endorsed athletes by any brand. You know, Puma, what Puma has done is very brave because endorsement deals are not something that it's very new on this continent. You know, it's things that we see in Europe, South America, America. So for them to just throw in the fish and, you know, bait Natty and I, and we hook, and you know, we're running together. It's just great, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I can't wait to see what the future years have in store for Natty and I. Maybe a signature shoe, maybe, you know, you just never know. And I'm excited. I'm happy.
Basketball Africa League coverage here on The Voice of America. That was Cape Town Tigers player Lebesa Selebe speaking to our intern Omolemo Kale. Mm-hmm. Mike, you know this guy, right? You played against him?
Yeah, yeah, played against him in high school. That was a buck a minute ago, bro.
You could be in the Basketball Africa League right
buck
now.
A minute ago.
You know what I'm saying?
Good old days.
But, you know, the thing that really surprised me about, you know, South Africa, this is a country that has, you know, the biggest economy on the continent, sports infrastructure much better than any other. Yeah. Why has the game of basketball? I mean, Cape Town Tigers is actually new. It's about four or five years in the league in South Africa. Why is the league not as robust as other rich countries like Egypt?
I think, like, it goes back to the fact that South Africa has so many sports that are prioritized, right? So you think of soccer being number one, rugby being up there, cricket being up there, netball being up there. These are all A-list performing, as in on the world market.
Absolutely.
South Africa's up there. So I think the investment in some sports, for example, basketball, hockey, then kind of falls to the wayside. But now with Ball coming in and trying to tap into those infrastructure, because the infrastructure is there, the good part. And some of these arenas were built during the 2010 FIFA World Cup, for example. And the fact that Sunbit Arena, for example, hosts, like, when you have Beyonce and all those guys there. So the infrastructure and the stadiums and everything is there in South Africa. It's now just a matter of A, grooming the talent, which I think now that we have the Kalahari Conference actually being hosted in South Africa, seeing people come out to these games, they definitely are realizing that there's a market for it. And it's now a matter of grooming the talent.
Now, that's on a national level, but what about, like, in high school? When you were playing with Lebesa here?
When it comes to high school, the problem with South Africa is, once again, certain sports are more reliant on elite schools, right? So basketball is not a widespread played sport across the whole country, right? A lot of people, I talked about Dylan Whitebread. We went to a semi-private school that is now seen as a high-performance school when it comes to sport. And so you will, I'm not surprised to see a Dylan Whitebread, to see him, Lebesa, or Nkosi Nathi Sibanyoni. All those guys went to, like, high-performing high schools. And you'll find, I'm sure if you break down the Cape Town Tigers roster, a lot of people probably went to private to high-performing schools.
Right, right.
Merely because these are all the schools that were feeding the culture of basketball. Once again, basketball is still a very developing sport in South Africa. And so even from an international or a national level, the investment and the attention is not there like that in comparison to soccer, where there's a soccer field in every hood.
Absolutely.
You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? There's a rugby field in every, I would probably say, farm areas have a rugby field. Basketball is still in that infrastructure is not across all high schools.
Now, Paul, speaking of high schools, I remember growing up in Uganda. I went to high school in Uganda. That most of the basketball players were coming from these elite high schools. Our poor schools did not have basketball. We had other sports. We had soccer for sure, but basketball was something that was only relegated to these, like, you know, schools like Isubi, Namidia, Ango,
actually,
and others.
I started playing basketball in Mweri. We had a basketball court, but it was just it was, like, a dusty basketball court, you know. But Mweri was known, of course, for soccer, cricket. Those were the two main, and, you know,
a legacy of
but, you know, once those sports were done, because you really had to be good. So for us, we weren't good at cricket and soccer.
Infiltrating into other sports.
We just, basketball was there, and we had a court, so we just played and played and played. You know. So, yeah, I think it's also the same thing coming our way. You find schools that are good at this, and they give them that infrastructure to build up on that, and others just, you know, pick up whichever sports they are, you know.
But things have changed, I guess.
Oh, yes,
now, the Uganda of the 90s is not the same as the Uganda of the 2000s.
And by the way, some of us who have gone to those schools are now kind of giving back. You know, like, we have a WhatsApp group, and we have... you know, we
trying to develop the infrastructure.
Yeah, we fix up the field, donating. We fix up this, fix up that, trying to get the sports thing going.
Yeah.
You know?
As we're coming to the end of our coverage today, Basketball Africa League, we were watching a game between Al Ahly Libya and Al Ahly Egypt that came down with the defending champions Egypt beating Al Ahly with a margin of about 12 points.
Great game.
Great game. You can tell that, you know, Al Ahly is obvious. You know, Egypt has you know, a storied is a storied franchise that has been around the, you know, the block for a minute, so they know what they are doing. And we continue our coverage here on the Voice of America for the Nile Conference as it continues. The Uganda City Oilers still have to win a game. Bangui, which is a debutant team from the Central African Republic, is also going to, you know, make, you know, trying to put a mark on this front, on this tournament, and others that are just starting out. But remember to stay locked in at the voaafrica.com for updates. Mike is the man in charge of our website, so he's always populating it. He's also the guy, you know, doing a lot of our sports coverage. So, Mike, what can people, you know, expect on voaafrica.com?
Yeah, voaafrica.com/theball. That is the website. Follow us there. Head to us. You'll get to see. If you are if you're looking to learn more about all these debutant teams, their team profiles are there. You get to hear from the players themselves. We have videos, we have pictures, we have information more on the Basketball Africa League. And so voaafrica.com/theball, that is the place to go. Of course, you can also follow us on Instagram at VOA Africa. You get to see all these collaborative posts and all this information about the Basketball Africa League. And of course, like you highlighted, we don't just cover basketball, we have other sports. So if anything you want to learn about sports on the continent in Africa, please
don't forget our Facebook page, Mike.
Facebook
plug
page.
Our Facebook page,
VOA Africa.
Yes,
we also have you know, even though Sunny's retired, we have our Sunny Side of Sports
absolutely
page. So please do follow us, follow our pages. We're also there on X. I almost said Twitter at VOA Africa. Please follow us and you get to learn more.
Absolutely. Join the VOA family on these platforms. Just go on Facebook and search VOA Africa. Same on Instagram and all these different social media platforms. But most importantly, our webpage, VOA Africa. You can follow me. I'm at Upfront Africa. Mike, you're at Mike
at
Hove.
At Mike Hove underscore.
Polo Fono, who is a local restaurateur. A friend of mine from Uganda. We played basketball together.
Yes, sir.
You know, thank you so much for coming to join us today. It was such a pleasure hosting you.
We're going to have him
thank
back. You. We're going to have him back.
Have you back.
Listen, somebody tell my City Oilers. I think it's Al Ahly Libya. Eh? Oh, Lord.
And many thanks to everybody. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye, everyone. Salud.